Are we live?
Yes.
The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by a bunch of different shit. It's brought to you, first of all, by marijuana. Let's give it up for marijuana, folks, because without marijuana...
There would be no Occupy movement.
I'd still be doing a comedian, but I'd be still doing comedy, but it would be different. Give it up to The Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for The Fleshlight and enter in the code name Rogan, you get 15% off. You shoot some loads at a discount. Did I give you one of those?
Yeah, you did.
I got extra ones.
Did you use it?
I'm giving
you
twice.
More.
Yes.
It's also brought to you by Onnit.com, the makers of Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain, a cognitive enhancing substance. And there's a new one that we got now called New Mood. It's got 5-HTP in it, a bunch of other shit. I'll give that to you, Brian.
Oh.
Yeah, which I'm a big fan of that 5-HTP. Neil Brennan turned me onto that shit. And that's it. That's our sponsors. Oh, go to joerogan.net and click on the link and put in Rogan and the Alpha Brain. You get 10% off. All right, use it. Use it. Abuse it. And Kevin Pereira's here, and he's going to stick one up his ass, he says, for easy absorption. Brian, what have you done? Yeah. Brian, it's an ear-shattering motherfucker.
Is there a volume slider on these bad boys?
Yes.
When I'm an old man on a mountain somewhere, my ears are ringing. I'm going to be like, fucking Brian.
Got in there.
He got me, the fuck. He wore it all out and beat my eardrums in. There's a few guys that come over the house, and we have to just keep saying, don't talk, don't talk. Okay, nobody talk, nobody talk. Because, you know, once Kevin gets over here, the moment he arrived, I met him in my driveway, and immediately we start talking about how Siri is fucking Skynet. And I mean, it's like right out of the gate. I'm like, shit, man. We haven't even got into it yet. We haven't even started talking.
Well, I gave you the opportunity to wipe your workout stink all over myself, and Joe actually went for it. It was pretty fucking gross.
No,
was he sweating? He put me in a scissor lock in his driveway and was like, dude, absorb my essence.
I'm used to jiu-jitsu, man. I'm used to dudes sweating on me. But I came out all sweaty because I was hitting the bag, and I was like, I'll give you a hug, but he goes, ah, come on, man. I go, all right. And then he panicked.
I ran for the hills.
I didn't want none of this.
No.
The first time I moved out here, the first time I went over to Joe's house, he was working out with his friend Eddie, and he answered the door, and this is when he was like insane. Well, you're probably more now, but you were insanely ripped. And Eddie and you both came to the door sweaty as hell and did the same thing, gave the man hug. And
that was a totally different weightlifting days. Right. I had more bodybuilder muscle back then, but I wasn't as strong. It's weird. It's
your description sounded like a little bit of Slash Fiction there for a second.
Slash Fiction?
Yeah, like, you know, he writes the story. Oh, yeah, Joe came out of the garage and the sun was glistening off his hips.
His nipples were protruding out of his ass. It made no sense.
You've dipped into Slash.
That's called Slash Fiction?
Yeah, it's a whole, like, subset of fiction. People who write, like, sexual fiction about, like, celebrities, Star Trek really kicked it off. There's
really?
A lot of that. Yeah.
Betty what? White. How yeah. do I not know about this? So what you're saying is that there's a whole genre of like fiction pornography about yeah. famous people.
Yeah, or like it's fantasy characters, porn. Yeah, fantasy I mean, there's probably characters. Care Bear Slash Fiction out there.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I'm sure there is.
I
right?
probably wrote some of it.
How fucking weird are people, man? That they have like sexuality intertwined into their hobbies and their you know their fetishes and their weird TV shows that they're into.
This podcast brought to you by Fleshlight. How weird is it to have sexuality intertwined into everything?
Well, yeah, but that's just something to jerk off into. I mean, everybody jerks off, and all the Fleshlight is a technological improvement on jerking off.
So what if I need Slash Fiction about, like, what if I need a good story about the brawny towel guy fucking the Jolly Green Giant?
Yeah,
what if I need
odd.
That to get off?
But there's people that are into that kind of shit, right? That's like, now that you brought this up.
Could be pretty hot.
I remember somebody else having a conversation with me about this, and they were talking about how... There's a website where people are into different cartoon characters.
First porn I ever bought was a Playboy Jessica Rabbit issue.
Wait a minute. Now that I'm realizing, now I'm thinking back again. Now it was like, there was like all this porn that used to be online where it was like the Flintstones fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, and it was like
that still
really
exists.
Hardcore.
Still
hardcore.
Happened.
And it was weird because it was kind of like hot. You know, like, you know, Fred was fucking banging Barney Rubble's wife. What was her name?
Was it Betty?
Betty Rubble.
Betty Rubble.
Fred
yes.
was banging Betty Rubble.
You see Max and Ruby, Joe. It's awesome on there.
Max and Ruby. They have sexual
everything.
Max
they have
and
Daria
Ruby
or whatever that little
Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Oh, they have.
I
all
saw
of them.
A Simpsons takeover ad once that popped up, and it was like Maggie had a penis. The yeah. baby had a penis. The
oh
female baby and was like fucking Marge's mouth with it.
Whoa.
And I was like, hold
Whoa.
On. There are hot singles in my area that want to chat with me. I got to attend to them first.
Does anything ever shock you anymore? Like anything at all?
No.
Like any videos or nothing?
I'm pretty desensitized, man.
Didn't you just say before we started, there was one?
There is one. Like, you got to understand, I've seen, like, soldiers get heads cut off, and I've seen some sick shit at, like, 8 or 9 years old when
you
I was
on
bulletin boards.
You were on Style Project back in the day.
Back in the day. This is before Style.
I used to go to that. Style was, like, the first. Yeah.
Style is how I know you.
Yeah, I talked to that guy online still. He sent me a Facebook message.
He's still
alive? I
gotta
send him back one. Yeah, supposedly. It might not be the real Style.
Right.
Who knows? I talked to him on
Style's
the phone
more of
once.
A movement. He's not a person.
Yeah, he's anonymous now, yeah. I thought.
I talked to him on the phone once. We were on a radio show. So it was like I was on the phone and he was on the radio show. At the
what
same
was he
time.
Like?
It was like an internet radio show. He's a good guy. He's just a kid, you know? I don't know him well. I don't know his thing. But boy, did he have a crazy fucked up site.
You should get him on a show. Or you should get him on a show.
Oh,
that's
totally
something that's never
show.
Been done on. Like, no one's ever really seen Style.
Yeah, I would have to know if it was the real Style, though. How the hell would you know?
By his kiss.
A guy who has a blog like that, you probably know pretty quick.
I don't think so. There's a lot of guys that would be fake Styles that I think would look just
as good.
Just they have them log in the Style Project.
So chat with the guy who's trolling as Style. Why
he's
not?
You know? One of the guys that really the first guy to promote my website though on the internet. He made a blog post about my comedy being really funny and my website being really cool, and then also these people started coming over to my message board, and then it started taking off. That's one of the reasons why at the beginning my website was so sick too. Sure. My message board has always been so twisted.
It was styling.
The style infection from the beginning.
Have you been to Rotten.com recently?
Yeah. No.
They need to hire a web designer. It's the exact same website as it was since the beginning of the internet.
I don't think they need to.
You want the web 2.0 version of dudes shitting in people's mouths?
Yes.
Like, that's what you want?
That car accident.
Does Rotten really need its own app?
Right.
Like, what exactly is web 2.0?
It's got to have rounded corners and glossy buttons and reflections.
Shadows.
What is it?
It's like it was a concept for a set of standards for how the web should work at the time. So it was like, you know, web 2.0, you know, things should be, you know, cloud-based, stored in the server. There should be endless scrolls on pages. There's all these things that happen with iterations of the web, you know.
I just saw it on the first time I saw it was years ago on some guy's website who makes websites.
Mm-hmm.
His websites were kind of whack. And, you know, I had this thing about Web 2.0. Like, he was, like, using all the right terms and everything, but his work was whack.
Right.
And I was like,
well, synergize the web with the content management system from the future.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, right, when anything becomes popular. You know, there's people who are, like, for real geeks, and then there's people who see geekdom as an opportunity to sort of make some money, and they pretend to be geeks. You know what I mean?
I've never experienced that in my life.
You've never experienced fake geeks?
Not once.
Really? What are you smiling like that for?
I'm just saying. It's a pleasure to not experience. I see it every day.
Oh, of course
I see
you
it
do.
Every fucking day.
Yeah, you're kidding, right?
Yeah,
every day you see fake geeks.
Yeah.
Is it annoying to you being a real geek?
You know, someone out there thinks I'm as fake as they come as well. So,
by the way,
it's all relative.
I'm a geek as well. And when I say this, I'm not saying like I'm a mean person calling someone a geek. You know, I'm a undereducated geek. I wouldn't say I'm a fake geek. I just don't know how anything works. I'm into it all, but I don't know how it works.
You put .net instead of .tv, by the way, on your link, so everyone's freaking out on Twitter.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, folks. Here, I'll retweet that shit.
Are we live? Is this?
Yeah.
Oh. This is
super live. Is there? What was the video? Did you ever say what the video was that you?
Do we want to get into that?
It's just too gross.
I mean, it's dark. It was fucking dark. I mean, I don't know. For whatever reason, it rocked me. There was a Reddit post on people that are making knockoff UGG boots in China, and they said that there's these entire factories where they're just cutting up dogs while they're alive, just skinning dogs alive, and taking that fur and processing it up and serving it out there as an UGG boot. And I'm like, dude, you know what? I used to click on this stuff, and
I can't do that.
I used to pride myself on separating. These are just pixels on a screen. These are ones and zeros. This isn't real. There's no emotion here. There's no I was so desensitized from those early days, and I was like, oh, fuck it. Let's see this video. Let's see what this world really is. And it just shattered me. It ruined my whole fucking day. It's ruined my week. It's still, like, in my head, which, you know what? Like, good, because at least now I'm talking about it. It was a graphic, terrible thing, but I didn't know they did that. I didn't know they skinned fucking dogs alive to make knockoff UGG boots.
I've seen that video. It's very hard to watch.
It's hard, right?
It's very hard to watch any of those skinning videos. Those are horrific because, you know, they show the bodies and they're still alive. They don't even bother killing them.
No.
They don't kill them first. They skin them while they're still breathing and they feel everything. And they're so insensitive. It doesn't bother them even in the slightest. There's, like, levels of humanity people dip down to that's very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure you've seen the dolphin decks in Japan where they have dolphins laid on a deck, 50, 60 dolphins, and they just slice their throats. They pull them out of the water,
right,
and they slice their throats. And it is horrific.
How else? But I'm sorry, I have to play devil's advocate. How else are they supposed to do their scientific research?
Oh, I get it.
It's fucking terrible. It's disgusting.
How much is a bullet, man? You can't shoot him in the head. If you're gonna kill him, you can't shoot him in the head. You got to do it that way. And I'm not saying you should kill him. You know, I'm not for killing him. But how horrific is it that they did the way they choose to do it is to bleed them out?
But you're asking for like an ounce of humanity and some of the most inhumane acts of life, and that's like. That's okay to ask for.
It's really disturbing, right? But what is it that allows some folks to go to a place? Is it necessity? I mean, what the fuck is it that allows people to not give even one shit about a dolphin or a dog that they make boots out of or anybody?
Because they don't see the dolphin or the dog. They see their survival and their family's survival. Yeah, that's all they see.
It's a necessity thing?
Yeah, it's got to be a necessity
thing. It must be, right?
Like, if you had a choice of doing a podcast every day or slitting dolphins' throats, you would do a podcast every day. This person doesn't have that choice, or at least they don't feel
that they have that choice.
I would imagine. If they had that, if some dude's out there was like, oh, dude, sweet, I get to skin a fucking greyhound today. Can't wait. And I'm going to punch some rabbits in the face before I get home. If someone's really thinking that, I don't want to wrap my head around that.
Of course they are. There's dark people, no doubt about it.
I know that there are people that do that, but I mean systematically for hundreds of thousands of workers to do that, I don't want to believe that that's their attitude.
I've watched videos of people beating cows when they work in the slaughterhouse and they're hitting cows with hammers and shit.
Well, that just makes them tastier. That's pre-tenderization, Joe.
I went to the City Pound today, and have you ever been to City Pound, pound?
I've taken dogs from pounds.
Yeah.
My dog Squeaky, remember Squeaky?
Yeah.
From a pound.
I don't understand how any of these dogs ever get taken, though. Like, all the dogs there today all look fucking dirty, beat up, just nasty. All of them were barking. It was, like, the most saddest, depressing, and thing ever. And then I watched somebody give up their dog. This girl about 24 came in with a pit, and she goes, I need to surrender this dog. And they're like, it's $25. And she goes, all right. And she gives them $25, and then she gives the leash to the woman, and the dog didn't want to leave the girl's side, and so the woman had to like pull and like drag the dog through, and the woman horrible. Just seemed unfazed by it, though. And I'm just like,
which woman?
The woman that was giving up the dog. And I'm just like, how do you, like, if I have a dog that I need to get rid of, whatever reason, it's never going to be that, I don't think. It's going to be find a friend first, find something first,
the dog was probably nuts.
Yeah.
You know, or it was, hopefully, it's that issue, and it's not that she didn't have the space for it or the time for it.
Right.
Because when people do that and they bring a dog to a pound, I mean, you're just asking someone else to kill the thing. You're just like, take it out of my head. I don't want it in my head anymore. Here, you put it in your head now. Now you deal with it.
Well, it's crazy.
Well, some people are like that, and I think some people are just really irresponsible and inconsiderate, and they you know, it's like, well, I'll get this thing for 2 minutes, and then, okay, I'm done with this plaything.
I was really surprised, though, that they didn't clean up the dogs, because my friend works at the shelter, and the place they take dogs that are about to die, like to be put to sleep, and they rescue those dogs. Then they clean them up and repackage them, you know, and then, like, you know, refurbish them or whatever. These dogs, amazing looking. You walk in, you want every single dog, and these are all dogs about to die. It's like you would think this like City Pound, Little City Pound would hire 4 kids, you know, in high school to clean up these dogs.
There's no money.
Yeah,
there's no money for anything. Those poor people.
Yeah,
anybody. I mean, that's a dark road. When you, especially today, when you deal with all the fucking economic hardships that are hitting people. And then you ask people to care about dogs. So right. Good luck.
They had roosters there, though. Snakes. They had bunnies. They had tons of bunnies and chickens and like
roosters.
Fucking. Like it was crazy.
That's like the new thing. That's like the new thing to have, I think, as a rooster.
Yeah.
No joke.
Well, also there's a lot of
people. Really? Yeah. I mean, that was like a hipster thing for a minute there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
Can you turn my microphone down? Or my headset down?
Oh, same here, please.
Yeah, right. It's really loud, man.
Yeah.
I went to my old gardener used to fight roosters, and I went to
cockfight them, like razor blades on their feet.
Yeah, yeah, the whole deal. A little louder. That's good, good. Yeah, he used to raise them and fight them, you know. And he took me to like where his friend has like this whole setup where they have hundreds of these different roosters in these cages and shit.
What's the setup? Is this like underground or is this like in an alley kind of thing?
He had a lot of space. It's really weird, man, because it's
so he had his own arena.
Not that far from here, you know. I mean, you drive maybe 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and you're in Mexico, bro. I mean, you're really in Mexico.
Oh, I thought you like saw this here. Like,
no. I mean, okay. It is here.
Okay.
It's close. I'm saying it's in Mexico because everything's in Spanish.
Right.
The entire neighborhood is, they've just completely turned this one neighborhood, I don't want to say where it is, into essentially like a branch of Mexico. It's nuts. Everything is in Spanish. Every sign at every store was in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, this is kind of cool that they've been able to do this. It's kind of weird. I'm like, come on, man, you're in America. Just learn the fucking language. It's not that hard. You know, if I know it, all right? And, you know, I know a lot of idiots that know English.
Right.
You could do it. Just get a goddamn Rosetta Stone. Figure your shit out. But, you know, to them, I guess, you know, they want to be around their people, and there's nothing wrong with that, man. You know, this guy was cool as fuck, this gardener. But
Did he show you? Did you actually go watch one?
No, I didn't watch the actual fight itself. But I went and watched them fuck around. I went and watched them train with each other. They train them, you know, and they have them go at each other with no spurs on, and they decide when to pull them off. And, you know, they do a bunch of shit to them to, like, they feed them, like, certain food to make sure that they're strong, you know, high protein.
And
yeah, they have championship lines of roosters. You want to buy roosters and breed them with like championship bloodlines because you want like a really aggressive, badass rooster
right.
that really knows how to get after.
Is there a fantasy league for cockfighting?
That's funny.
Because that needs to be built. That needs to be put together.
Gambling. A lot of gambling. Man.
That's what I mean.
Farmville,
no.
too.
You know, bring it in. Bring it into Vegas.
You got to be there.
Legitimize
live.
It.
Well, I think it's legit in a couple of states. I think it's legal in a couple of states.
Is it? I thought that was illegal everywhere.
Really?
I would imagine something like that.
Yeah,
to me, it's like it's like dogfighting.
How would that?
No. It's not like dog fighting. Dogs are awesome. Chickens can suck my dick. All right. I never care about chickens.
There's some dude at home though, like right in the middle of his roost that feels the same way about dogs.
They're cold hearted dinosaurs. Okay, cockfighting is now illegal in all 50 states, and in Washington D.C.
Hey, we accomplished something.
The last state to make it's interesting. Wow, I think it was legal pretty recently though.
It's not illegal in West Hollywood.
Shut up, Brian. Trying to be gay and funny, you silly goose.
He is apparently... What was the gay Jim Carrey thing that you were watching?
Oh, that movie. Yeah,
he's talked about
that. Did you ever watch that?
No, I didn't.
No, but he said the reason he watched it was that, well, it was on, but the remote was so far away that I was just like, ah... I'm like, that's your excuse for watching gay porn? Like,
yeah,
you just wanted to watch two dudes fuck.
Well, it doesn't start off like that.
I'm sorry, here's the information. Louisiana was the last state, and it was 2007, so that's pretty goddamn recently.
Yeah.
Ban took effect in 2008.
Someone's still fighting to repeal that there. You know it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Mostly rappers.
Yeah. Well, I know that Roy Jones Jr. is a huge proponent of the cockfighting. You know, he used to fly in private jets with roosters. He was flying, like he was the fucking middleweight champion of the world, you know?
Right.
Flying around a goddamn private jet, and he would bring like 10 roosters with him in cages.
Wow.
Yeah, he was nuts, man.
And he would fight them himself?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's no backlash for that for him or no?
Well, it's not the same, man. You know, like the backlash from Michael Vick, look, there's a big difference. You tell someone that someone fights dogs and you go, whoa, man, that's kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and then you heard the other shit that Vick did where he would electrocute the dogs or drown them or shoot them in the head.
No,
like, he murdered them. He murdered a bunch of dogs. And that takes a certain personality that we don't like.
Yeah, that's the personality we were just talking about.
Exactly.
The one that got to my core.
Even worse, because this is a multimillionaire. This isn't a guy who's in any state of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't cruelty because he's in a bad position and he needs to do this because he's got to put food on the table. No, this is a guy who's getting off on killing animals for sure. And we just kind of have accepted him back into the fold because he's really good at football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know people say, well, you know, he did his time. Yeah, I guess he did do his time. But there's a certain amount of what he did that's so horrific that it just makes you really hesitant to ever forgive someone for that kind of behavior. You know, I forgive someone for fucking up. I forgive someone for saying things. I forgive someone for racism. I forgive someone for poor mental choices. But when you kill 100 dogs, man, and you electrocute them and shoot them and stab them and do all that shit that he supposedly did,
right.
I don't like you. I don't think I'll ever like you. I don't think I can like you. I think you're capable of doing some shit that I would never imagine. And how far back have you bounced from that? 180 degrees? Are you a perfect person now?
Right.
Are you just less creepy because you know the cameras are on you and you don't want to go back to jail for killing dogs? Fuck you, man.
Do you think there's an expectation, though, that people have an expectation? Like, well, okay, he did his time, so you should forgive him.
Yeah, I guess you should, yeah.
Because I don't have that expectation.
I would like to believe. I would like to believe that people can, you know, fully learn from... But, man, I like dogs, and that drove me crazy. And I like pit bulls. And you know what? Pit bulls like to fight, man. That is a fact. they like it. I've had to break my dogs up many times when I have pit bulls, and it's scary. Especially they don't want to let go, and they're wagging their tails. They're both wagging their tails, and they're locked onto each other's faces. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, but that's what they do, man. It's their thousands of years of genetic breeding. And you know what? It's this coming from a person who's deeply involved in human fighting. So for me, like, dog fighting is, what is it, less brutal than what I fucking watch every weekend?
Right.
Is it less brutal than, you know, than Alistair Overeem kicking you in the fucking head with his shin? I think a dog biting you might be a little less brutal than that. You know, it might be less brutal than having Cain Velasquez punch a fucking hole through your face like he did to Brock Lesnar. You know, I mean, shit.
Yeah, those guys are in there because they want to be there. They're making the conscious decision to be there.
Guess what? The dogs want to do it too. They want to bite through the fucking
Some do,
fence.
Yeah, but they're also killing each other and there's no referee.
The really scary
thing. There's no way to stop it.
Well, yes, they are. That's not
stop
true.
Till you die.
No, that's not true. The dogs break the dogs and then they bring them back together again. If the dog shies away, they stop it. That's incorrect.
I mean, but where's the electrocution and the drowning that you brought
that's
up?
That's all got dogs that are not game. This is the idea is you never breed a dog that is human aggressive. You never breed a dog that quits. You never breed a dog that is scared of another dog, a dog that backs away. Mm-hmm. The thing what they've done with pit bulls is they've taken this animal and they've engineered it into a super fighter. And there's no other dog that comes close to a pit bull when it comes to dog fighting. There's no other dog. And this isn't, you know, I'm not bragging about this. This isn't like fanboy talk. This is just what they've done. They've taken this animal. They've made it something very unusual. What they've done is they made an animal that's absolutely unafraid to die, absolutely unafraid of pain, mm-hmm. absolutely unafraid of conflict and impact. They go right after other dogs. There's no hesitation. A lot of dogs, they growl. They try to figure out who's going to be the boss. And mm-hmm. They'll piss on a fence. They might even be able to avoid a fight altogether. There's no avoiding a fight with pit bull. None. Zero. If it's a pit bull and he's out of his cage and he's a male and he has his balls and there's another dog that's a male and has his balls and that dog does anything even remotely resembling something that challenges the pit bull's dominance, there's a fight.
He's been bred for that.
Yeah, unless you're just a bad motherfucker, Caesar Milan guy, and you've done a really good job of breeding your dog, or you've got a particular docile version of the breed where many, many, many generations of breeders have bred the gameness out of pits. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about game pit bulls, most people, what you see when you see a pit bull, you see this like 90-pound, muscular, big-headed. That's not a game pit bull. A game pit bull is about 35 pounds. They're very small. And they look like almost like a beagle, man. I mean, I don't want to – not really, but they don't look like the dogs that we are used to seeing. They look like these little sinewy, little like springy athletic dogs.
Right.
The idea was you had to get a small dog because you had to be able to physically separate them when they're going at it. If you got two 90-pound pit bulls going at it, first of all, they don't last. They gas out really quick, just like heavyweight
fighters. Just like heavyweights.
And they gas out really quick, and they you can't separate them. They're too fucking strong. It's too dangerous, too. Two 35-pounders, you just get right in there and pick them up. 25-pounder, 28-pounder. So, yeah, they have weight classes, and they put dogs on treadmills.
So I get that they treat it like a sport. I get that they treat it like, you know, like anybody else would treat something professional. But does that make it okay to be breeding the dogs for that?
No, it certainly doesn't. I mean, yeah. I don't support it in any
no,
way.
No, and I wasn't implying that you do, though, but I mean, like, that's...
I'm a hypocrite, though, because like I said,
you just said it's less violent
fighting.
Than UFC.
No, it's not really. I mean, the dogs get fucking bit by pit bulls. But you know, I'm kind of kidding, and I'm kind of exaggerating, but I did say it. But what I meant was, I mean, I am around voluntary human violence amongst the most intelligent species on the planet on a regular basis, and for sure, I know those guys enjoy it. And I think the dogs enjoy it, too. I don't think they should do it. I hated watching dogs fight. And when I'd come home and dogs would get angry, and you know, sometimes it would be a fight over attention. You know, you come home and they decide like one person wants to get pet, and then the other dog wants to get pet, and they'll fucking growl at each other, and it's really annoying, you know. It's one of the things that happens when you have a bunch of dogs. But my point about pit bulls is not that, you know, that there's anything good about what they do.
No, you're just saying this is what they do.
This is what they do.
Right.
And
I think a dog could be bred to love being pet just as much as it loves aggression, no matter how aggressive a dog is. So, I mean,
of course, over many generations. Well, my dog now is what's called a Regency Mastiff. And what a Regency Mastiff is a Neapolitan Mastiff that's bred with a pit bull. And
fucking one percenter.
It's what it essentially is this big, strong, athletic pit bull mastiff combination. But there's no dog aggression at all, and no That's people cool. aggression. He's like the but it's because I know the guy who breeds it, and he breeds for the exact opposite. He breeds if the dog show any aggression to anybody, done. No breeding.
Right. Making
he has them fixed. Yeah. He has them fixed, but he doesn't kill them. He's not shooting them in the head. You know, he's a breeder who loves animals.
Sure.
They come over his house. I mean, his dogs are playing with his 2-year-old daughter. You know what I mean? It's like that's you can do amazing things with animals through breeding, and what they've done with the pit bull is an amazing thing. I love the dogs; they're amazing dogs. A guy had one at the gym the other day. I couldn't stop petting it. They're fascinating animals.
You brought it to the gym?
Yeah. Guys bring it jiu-jitsu. Come on, my friend. Oh, I have jiu-jitsu. A pish bull. Okay, yeah. I bring the pish bull to the gym. The thing about them is because they've been bred that way, where only the strongest, most aggressive, the ones with the most impenetrable will, those are the only ones that are allowed to breed in the dogfighting community. The other ones are culled. You know, they're either killed or they're neutered or they're given to people as pets. But when you have that, what you get is this incredibly like energetic, intelligent animal. Mm-hmm. You get this survivor. You get this like cream of the crop genetic specimen of a dog. They're just fucking amazing.
I feel the
dogs.
Same way about Yorkie poos.
Yeah.
Fucking, you get the adorableness of the Yorkshire. You get the intelligence of the poodle.
There you go.
I mean, who doesn't want that on a calendar or in their living room?
You ever have a pit bull,
baby.
Once you have a pit bull, it's very hard to take other dogs seriously.
Really? There's,
yeah, German shepherds are pretty easy to take seriously. They're pretty good.
My buddy's cousin trains German shepherds.
Very smart dogs.
And he trains them for like celebrities. And I guess he taught Jay-Z's dog Diamonds.
Really?
If he tells a German shepherd Diamonds.
Oh, the dog does that.
Yeah. I hope it isn't out Jay-Z, but I think that's so awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Yeah, German shepherds are super, super smart. You can't just leave a German shepherd in the yard. They'll find a way out, man. They don't like it. If they have to, they'll stay in a yard, but they get bored really quick. They're task-oriented animals.
They're SWAT team members.
Yeah.
Like, they are treated like
Belgian
SWAT team members.
Belgian Malinois, the smaller versions, look just like German Shepherds, but they're smaller. Same thing. You know, those dogs are super smart.
Both German Shepherds at the pound today, both just standing at attention, barking or anything. And I have accepted my fate.
Yeah. Dude, they're great dogs. Yeah. German Shepherds are great dogs. I had a German Shepherd. My grandfather had one when I was growing up. What a great dog it was. It was literally a dog would like go check on things, like watch over the kids. Like kids would be playing, like my cousins would be playing, and the dog would just stand there and watch over them and make sure everybody's okay.
Right.
Make sure nobody
ultimate
came
host. You guys cool? You need
and
anything?
If people would like walk by the front, if like he was by the babies and the little kids were playing and people would walk by the front gate, the dog would take 2 steps towards the fence just in case he needed to go jack somebody. Mm-hmm. Just take 2 steps and then he would look back at the little kids. And I'm like, I was like 6 and I realized this. I'm like, this motherfucker's guarding these babies.
Right.
That's awesome.
The dog is guarding them. You don't see that from very many dogs. No. Most dogs don't give a fuck about somebody's babies. So fuck this baby. You know, lick my balls. Let me eat some food.
Bacon strip later. Yeah, exactly.
But this is a totally different animal. It's weird.
Hey, you mentioned Michael Vick did his time, and I don't want to tangentialize too much, but I mean, I think it's crazy that you know this Occupy stuff's going on. And I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you fall or what you've seen, but it's crazy that those guys haven't done any time yet.
Well, there's no leader. That's the thing. You know, they're trying to find someone to put away where they can stop the movement. The scariest thing about Occupy Wall Street for them is that there's no one person with a megaphone.
That's the only reason they're lasting so long. Well, I mean,
it's getting bigger, too. It's bigger and bigger every day. This is the beginning of something huge.
Right.
This is not just what it looked like. You know, what it looked like was like one of them fucking Glenn Beck rallies that just got real long, lasted a while. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pissed. Yeah, I get it. You're pissed. I'm pissed too. But then after a couple of weeks, it's like, this is not the same. This is a different feeling. Yeah. This has an overthrow the government feel to it.
Yeah. I mean, I saw people out there for the first time with like giant signs that said audit the Fed. And
yeah.
I was like, I didn't see you guys out here for any other rally. And maybe that's just because my eyes weren't open enough, but I went, okay, if this is how it's going to go down, let's get it going.
Well, I've had some discussions about this on my message board, and there's some real good points that a lot of these guys brought up that I agree with. And one of them is that there's not a lot of cohesive message to this thing.
So right.
It's like there's so many different people with so many different
wants
and desires.
But that's going to happen with any movement.
Sure, absolutely. Especially a movement with no leader.
Right.
You know, that they go there and they're like, stop the drone killings, you know, right. And there's PETA people there, and there's fucking solar people there, and hemp people there, and there's right. legalized marijuana people there, and everyone's got their own signs, and it's not just Occupy Wall Street. It's everything that sucks. And I don't
a guy had a sign that said, shit's fucked up, and it's bullshit. And I was like, awesome. Abso-fucking-lutely, dude. That's shit's awesome. Fucked up. So that's reason enough to get out there. And right now, the major concern is watching special interest groups, agent provocateurs,
yeah.
watch them try to roll into the fray and do their YouTube videos to fight back and their CNN coverage to,
yeah.
to picture the protest and, in a certain direction. It's so fascinating to watch. The way the steps were outlined for it. Here's what happened to the Tea Party. Here's how every other movement has been marginalized. Excuse me, coffee, bad. Marginalized every other movement for years. And to watch those steps playing out right now with Occupy Wall Street and seeing if it's going to thrive or if it's going to crumble in on itself.
Do you think that someone right. marginalized the Tea Party, or do you think they just did it to themselves?
The people who truly, and this is from Reddit articles and from what I can cobble right. together on Wikipedia, but the people who were at the true heart of the original Tea Party were anti-Federal Reserve.
Right.
They were anti-big banks. They were anti-corporations. And a lot of people said, well, they're Ron Paul supporters. So they got lumped in as, okay, you're Ron Paul, so you're Republican. And they're like, wait, but we're not necessarily Republican. I mean, we do believe in some of Ron Paul's ideas. Nope, you're Republican. Now we're going to get some crazies out there with some hats that have tea bags dangling from them. And send out flyers.
Well, you really think that someone sent those people out there? You don't think that there was a lot of people that just joined in?
No, there certainly were. But
so you think that it was orchestrated?
I think aspects of it were orchestrated. I think really? I think there's documented proof of people doing that. I mean, they already have agent provocateurs.
Of course.
That Citibank thing where those guys got arrested, the 40 people that were in a Citibank trying to close their bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were being assholes. They were. They were being dicks. They had their cardboard signs inside a Citibank.
They were disruptive.
And they're
business.
Shouting. They were being disruptive.
Yeah, they weren't just canceling their bank accounts.
The guy who was the loudest there, one of the guys who was the loudest from videos that I've seen, was an undercover cop.
What?
So he was right in there. Yeah, it's out
what?
There.
Wow.
So one of the ladies who went in there, she did protest. She did say her speech, but then she politely, after they told her to quiet down, and this is, again, I can only cobble together so many stories, but this is what I've observed over a few articles. She quietly calmed down. She closed her bank account. She was outside. They locked everybody in because the police said, well, if they're disrupting business, hold them there, which I don't, even for being an asshole, I don't think you can legally detain somebody like that without the cops being there.
Right.
Dude came outside. She said, I'm a customer, showing him the Citibank bank receipts and stuff. She said, I'm supposed to be in there. I'm trying to cancel my account. He's like, you were one of the protesters. Grabs her, bear hold style, and drags her back inside the Citibank. To be processed.
Wow.
Well, Citibank, this is hilarious. The Citibank protesters are saying that the undercover cops set them up.
You know.
Thought it was a setup.
Wow. So the one thing this movement has going for it, which has me remaining so hopeful, is that they are so fucking connected. Like, that's what makes it great, because the second bullshit happens, it's like, listen, yeah, that's one story, but here's 40 other angles of that event, start to finish. You look at what happened. You know, and they showed a commercial right now. There's an attack commercial against the movement that has some crazy guy who's known for being a crazy YouTube guy spouting anti-Semitic remarks at people left and right. And there's one guy, and there's another dude that has a sign that was anti-Semitic, and they cut back and forth between this guy for like 3 minutes. You know, this guy with the sign, the guy with that, and there's video of people at that protest shaming them, telling them to get the fuck out of here. This doesn't belong here.
Right.
So you see one message and you go, crazy anti-Semitism. There you go. I get why people believe that. That's the message they see. But yeah. This movement is so connected that there's a chance that you could see 40 other perspectives on right. an event and truly make it up for yourself.
Well, like,
you can truly decide.
This Citibank arrest, now that we're talking about this, and now that I'm going, you told me this, and I'm going online, and we'll tweet this stuff too, people are getting a chance to, do you want one of those, man? There's cold ones in there.
Yeah,
open the top. Then the bottom there, bottom shelf there. There you go, fella. Get one for everybody. Yeah, sure, thanks. This is why they're saying that they know that the guy was an undercover cop. It's because he fucking arrested one of them once they got outside.
Oh, my God.
The fucking guy, he wasn't just an undercover cop. He was mocking them and laughing about it. He arrested one of the protesters outside, slammed her into a wall, and pushed her back into the bank.
Oh, my God.
There's video of that.
He was at the precinct while they were all getting arrested, and he was laughing with fellow white shirt cops, telling them about what we'd been saying, basically. It was a bit startling how inside their information was, how they were being paid to go to these protests and put us in situations where we'd be arrested and not be able to leave. That's amazing.
It's not the only incident by a long shot.
That's crazy. But who is in charge of this? If this guy's an undercover cop, right? Where is this Citibank branch? What part of the country was this?
I don't recall.
Oh, that sucks. I would like to know.
Is it not there on the article?
Oh, New York. It's New York.
Wow. Well, there you go. So you know who's behind
Washington
it.
Square Park Police. Wow. They set this woman up. This is disgusting.
It's not the only incident
this
whatsoever.
This is disgusting that this should be fraud. We should be able to sue them for fraud.
Yeah, they can.
Misrepresenting our tax dollars and misrepresenting your position to protect us. You are leading someone into an illegal event, and then you're the one who's screaming shit out and citing them?
Did you know about kettling? The procedure of kettling?
What's that?
It's what the cops, they have a term for it. It's for cutting off large sections of a crowd for arrest during a protest. So that Brooklyn Bridge arrest, there's a lot of views that depending upon how you want to interpret the video that you're watching, those guys were kettled. So it means like they create a pot. In this case, it was the Brooklyn Bridge, right? They cut off one end of the Brooklyn Bridge. Then they told protesters, hey, you know, no foot traffic allowed on the bridge, into a megaphone, which if you've ever been to a rally, the first three people can hear that megaphone.
Right.
No one else fucking can. No one else can. So they have one officer in the very front. You guys can't be here. Guys can't be here. Guys can't be here. No foot traffic. Puts it away. All right, everybody. He turns around, and many of the protesters felt that there was a line of police officers walking down the street, leading them onto the Brooklyn Bridge, like across it. The protesters thought they had a minor victory. They're like, fuck yeah, Brooklyn Bridge, we got this shit. The cops get about halfway in, they cut them off, they put the lid on the kettle, and they cut off this large group of protesters on the bridge and arrested them all.
Wow.
It was like leading the marching band into
They arrested like 700
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
that
got a lot,
right?
Yeah.
It's cowboys.
Yeah. It really is. They were just hurting protesters.
Yeah, hurting protesters.
Well, you know what, man?
But it sucks. This movement isn't anti-cop whatsoever, and it sucks that it's unfortunately only the bad and salacious stuff gets the news coverage.
Well,
you know?
That's important though, because people need to know what can happen.
Of course.
Can happen. We need
of
to
course.
Know about this. This Citibank thing is fucking disgusting.
Right?
This is really gross.
And
if somebody just feels like Citibank's a shit organization, and they just want to go in there and cancel their thing and maybe say, Citibank, I disagree with everything you're doing and I want my money back. Good, fine, leave.
So search the one that happened today with Bank of America. Well, because a woman goes into a Bank of America, she had a sign, and there's a video of this whole thing. Again, I think, don't preach. Don't make a ruckus. Don't try to be the YouTube splash. But then again, here we are talking about it. So
right.
I guess it worked.
Is this today you're saying?
I think it was today.
There's something from October 11th where a bunch of women were arrested inside a Bank of America for returning trash from foreclosed homes.
No. I think it was from today. It was two women. One has a sign. She says, I'm against you guys. I'm closing my account. She immediately goes in and like a branch manager comes over to her and says, you can't be here. You need to leave. She's like, what are you talking about? You need to get out of here. I'm calling the cops. She's like, listen, I'm just here to close my account. You can't. You're a protester. I'm calling the cops. Why? What? I haven't done anything. And she's like, I'll put the sign away. No, calling the cops. And it gets to the point where she actually delivers a line. You cannot be a protester and a customer at the same time.
Whoa.
Kick them out. Lock the doors.
Oh, they just kicked them out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cops wouldn't do anything. I mean, come on, man. Like,
yeah, but kicking
you can't
someone,
be a protester.
Did, I
and
know,
a,
but you didn't. They didn't arrest him. I don't know. I mean, what do you want to do? Do you want to be able to go to a place where you work and have a bunch of people stand around yelling that what you're doing is bad or protesting inside your job?
No, but again, you have to watch the video because they.
What were they doing? I
mean, she sat down with her sign and was waiting to close the account. Again, I still think it's dickish to go and make noise and shout at some.
Well,
some poor district manager that she's the 1% because, you know, she's not. She's just doing her job, too.
Well, I think banks are like airplanes, though. Like, you really have to watch what you do inside of a bank.
Right.
Like, especially if you have a sign. You don't know if that person has a bomb connected underneath their coat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little different. Like, I feel weird wearing an open shirt in a bank sometimes.
Somebody had a good point about Occupy Wall Street, and they said, all we need is one or two bounce checks, and the cops are with us.
Yeah.
And that's so true because cops are with us. You know, it's the cops are not fucking bankers.
But
man.
Did you see the nice time release?
The idea that you can get the cops to act as protectors for these cocksuckers is really dark. It's really dark when you think about it, that it could even be steered in that direction.
No, don't you think it's already happening, though?
In what way? I mean, this one Citibank thing? Yes, I do.
But, I mean, they're like the police actions in New York, from checking IDs to make sure you're allowed to walk on certain streets. You had to have a Wall Street ID, and of an ID that matched one of the addresses that you worked there.
Well, don't you think that probably has something to do with terror attacks as well? I mean,
they didn't do it before these protests.
Right, but I mean, don't you think they're worried possibly that someone's going to sneak through? I mean, if there's so much fucking and so much attention in a certain area, I don't think it's just that. It is a slippery slope.
Because first of all, this protest hasn't been violent.
Security.
This protest hasn't been violent. There have been outbursts, you know, but they haven't. I mean, that's like the officer Tony Baloney that pepper sprayed those women that were in the net. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah, I did.
Like, that guy lost 10 vacation days.
That's it?
That was his punishment.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, it happened yesterday. He lost 10 vacation days for pepper spraying.
And he's still a cop.
Three women. Oh, still a cop. Doesn't get demoted. Nothing.
You know, he had also some sort of situation in 2004 mm-hmm. where he abused somebody.
He punched somebody, I think. Yeah. But real quick, to finish that point, though, you know, you got guys like that out there. You want those guys checking your ID to make sure you work at a building. And it's like, well, you go, yeah, it's for safety. But we've given up so many freedoms in the name of safety. And this is just further erosion of that.
I agree with you, but just playing devil's advocate, what if you don't work for anybody who's doing anything evil, and you work on fucking Wall Street, and you can't get anywhere near your job because there's a million hippies out there beating drums, banging for the banks to close, and you don't even support the fucking banks. Be like, I hear you, but I got to get over there because that's where I work. And they're like, you fucking 1%er, you fucking piece of shit suppressing the people. And, you know, meanwhile, just a person who works there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Are there legit businesses?
I hope that's not the attitude of the protesters. I hope that they – and that's why I was troubled to see that woman call the branch manager like, oh, you're the 1%. I'm like, again, this is just a motherfucker trying to do their job.
Yeah.
I marched in the L.A. rally that they had. I was like, let's see this thing. If I'm going to put my weight behind this at all, or – I try not to get too political at times. And I was like, if I'm going to be outspoken about this shit, I need to go down there. I need to see what it's like. Right. And I'm shocked at how many people have framed – complex opinions about it and yet haven't gone down to actually see one. And when I was there, the cross-section of society that I ran into, I feared didn't exist anymore. Truly.
What do you mean?
Amazing people. There's incredible people. That for every avatar dressed up, head-to-toe blue hippie that's banging a bongo drum, there were three people there of all ages, all races, that like understood that shit is fucked up in this country and was trying to be positive about it.
Hmm.
You know, and trying to elicit change. And so it was a really nice feeling, but... I feel like there were clear demands, and there was a, you know, a good purpose to it then. Now it's being a little co-opted.
How long ago was this?
That I went out there?
Yeah.
Probably a week or two ago.
So you think it's being co-opted by nefarious forces that are working undercover to try to sabotage things?
Yeah,
like
I think
the Citibank thing.
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what are they doing?
They do that to every movement. I mean, from the attack ads to marginalizing the message to entrapment.
It's costing them a lot of money. I mean, I think it was New York or something like that. Like, they were going to go bankrupt from this, you know. And
so
I think
Bloomberg, it was like, cough up the cash. He's where he got billions.
Right.
Well, did you keep that mayor job, fuckface?
While this was going on, I believe it was JP Morgan Chase announced their huge grant to NYPD of like $4.6 million or something like that. It might have been $1 billion. I'm not even joking. It's probably a million. What? You should Google it. But it's literally like, as this is going on and the cops are there protecting Wall Street and pepper spraying civilians who are protesting it, JP Morgan is making multi-million dollar donations to the NYPD.
No way.
Who are they going to serve and protect, man?
Right.
So yeah, they might be one or two pensions away, but guess what? They're not going to lose their pension. Politicians don't fuck with the cops because they know they need them there to protect them and protect the bankers.
That is dark.
That's why it was inspiring to watch that Marine.
Dark.
There was a fucking Marine colonel that was on the street. And you want to talk about pit bulls, Joe?
Yeah, I saw that guy.
That motherfucker was inspiring. And people were like, he only said three words. I'm like, it took him three words. Like, it was like, there's no honor in this, which is several more words than that. But it took only that from that dude wearing that uniform with that intensity to shut those cops down.
Those cops couldn't say shit.
They couldn't say
shit. Pointing to his medals and shit.
What are you guys doing? You're on horses trampling fucking innocent protesters.
Yeah, you're supposed to protect these people.
Yeah, this isn't a war zone. These people don't have guns.
Yeah, why are you hurting these people? There's no honor.
There's no honor in this.
It's very
That's all it took from that fucking guy.
J.P. Morgan Chase donates $4.6 million to NYPD during the protest.
During the protest.
That's so beautiful.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
It's fucking amazing. Transparent as sin.
It's gross. This is something that would have happened a long time ago, and we would have never heard about
it. But look at the site CNN. That announcement is on. That's on their official website. It's not like they tried to hide this. It's not like somebody had to go digging up some file to find some back alley deal.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, world, we just donated $4.6 million to the NYPD. That's how good we are as people.
Wow.
Yeah, how gross. And then the cops are acting as if that $4.6 million is worth more than whatever these fucking regular people pay out of their paychecks every goddamn week. And a percentage of that, for sure,
right,
has to go to public service. The people that are in your community, man. The people that are fed up. And you are just going to bend over and take it up the coulee for 4.6 from some fucking bankers.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
For an Adam Sandler movie. That's how much does a movie cost?
Adam Sandler movie's a lot more than $4.6 million.
Well, that's what they gross, but they're... Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Adam Sandler makes a lot of fucking money. You might not like his movies, but...
No, I love Adam Sandler.
That was a total joke.
I love Adam Sandler.
Happy Gilmore.
That guy made $4.6 million for a movie, he would cry.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible weekend.
So, oh, fuck. What was... talking about J.P. Morgan, yeah, how they announced this right in the middle of it.
This is terrifying.
So, yeah. So, here's one thing I'm going to attempt to do. I'm going to try to raise some money to do an app to help facilitate protesters right now.
Really? And how's that work?
I got a couple ideas. I mean, and I think right now I'd love to see geolocation mixed media chat rooms that you can join. Password protected, anonymous, whatever, you know. You'll log into the room. Maybe I'll create Occupy LA and people go in there. Now we have a mixed media shared space with like IRC-style moderation, meaning whoever creates that room can anoint. If I create a room, I can give you permission and you permission to post directly to it. Everybody else chats in a separate area of the app, but allow people to push button quick voice message chat so you can quickly communicate in a crowd. Like, hey, the cops are coming. Everybody fucking sit down.
Boop. Whoa.
Send that off,
that's
right?
That's a good idea, man.
Hey, they're kettling us in. Pull up the Google Maps. Drop a pin on it. Send that out to the group so they can be like, all right, here's our new rally point, and get there. All in the names of keeping it peaceful and organized. If anybody takes a photo or tries to live stream from within the app, it would be geotagged and hashtagged automatically because you're in that group. So when it goes up to the web, now, like right now I'm trying to follow the protests and they go, cops are beating a dude in a wheelchair in Sacramento. They weren't. They were just arresting a kid in a wheelchair, so it's okay. And he was just there after curfew. I had to track down 4 Twitter accounts to find where that was happening, click right on the protest, go to the live stream. One live stream went down. I'm like, it's inefficient. Wow. If everybody organized through one channel, all their media, you could pull up a map in real time of all the shit that's going down in the world, click on a bubble and view it back like a timeline.
Wow.
And see when the room started, what people were saying, what keywords were popping, what media was happening, where the videos were. You could piece up angles based off timestamps. And the idea is you would have the most honest slice of an event in history that's going on. I think it would be amazing, and it would help people on the ground really organize and be safe, you know, safer.
That's a great idea, dude.
They're there on Kickstarter, quick.
So I want to do it on Kickstarter. If someone hasn't stolen the idea already, I want to do it. I've already specced it out. I've priced
it. What do you call it?
We Gather.
How about Fuck the Police?
Yeah.
No, down from the underground.
No, because it'll never get funding as, I think I had it like iRiot.
Fudge the Police?
iRiot? Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
iRiot. I had a bunch of like angry, aggressive names, but the way to really sell it is to say, well, not only can this be used to help facilitate marches, but if a group of 10 is going to Disneyland, they can all create a group amongst their friends and share their media that way. You know?
Yeah, that's how you should market it entirely. Right. So what are you going to call
that's
it?
How I'm Gather? Doing it. We Gather.
We Gather.
You know, like it's a social app. And
I like it.
Someone just took the .com and the logo and everything else. So
you
good luck
register
with it, guys.
That shit yet?
Nah.
How dare you?
I just wanted to get... I want the idea out there. I was going to sell the... I was
please,
not going to sell
folks,
the app.
Don't steal it.
No, I mean, I hope... If don't someone can help me make idea. That, please.
Why don't you register know? It tonight?
I could.
Yeah, do it.
I got it specced up. I know how much it's going to cost. So I think I'm just going to go out there and do it.
It sounds brilliant.
Thanks.
It sounds
man.
Like a brilliant
yeah,
idea.
I
Thanks.
Agree.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
And it
dude,
really would
earbud
be great
in,
for Disneyland, too.
It would. And if you're at like a fucking Coachella, let me join the Coachella room with my friends, and then we can keep our room private but promote media up so it can go to the public room.
Say you go to the Kentucky Derby and you get lost. You're with a group of friends.
Right. Or you're just at a cockfight and you want to know where your friends are.
You want to know who's rooster's on top.
That's it. We Gather.
Yeah, that's a great idea, dude.
Thanks.
I like that a lot.
So
you're like a revolutionary. Look at you.
Well, dude, how revolutionary would that image be? Because right now the crowds, half of the violence and the confusion comes from panic. Mm-hmm. The panic is coming from a lack of communication. When you see those people chanting back what people are saying in a park, people think they're crazy and it's like a cult. It's like, actually, no, they don't allow amplification devices.
Right.
So people are just like, we'll loudly repeat everything else that's happening.
Right.
But you get enough people running a We Gather style app, pop in one earbud, you can still hear what's going on around you. You'll know exactly who's connected and who's in that room by the side of the earbud and by glancing down at your phone and just fucking push to talk, man.
Jamie Kilstein made a tweet, and this tweet will forever, in my mind, embody what is going on here. He made this tweet. He was down at Occupy Wall Street. He was talking about how fucking crazy it is. He wrote, they just arrested a guy because they thought he was the leader. Period. There are no leaders. Occupy Wall Street, you know, and he did a little hashtag, and I was like, wow, like what a crazy movement that must be for people, where there's not one guy on a podium with a microphone.
It's truly democratic movement right now.
Growing.
Truly democratic
and growing
movement.
And how the fuck do you silence that?
But then you got guys like Move On. There's a petition on Move On site to have them to stop supporting Occupy Wall Street. They're seen as a radical leftist group and very political, and they have their own ties to corporations, et cetera, depending upon who you ask. So right now, you can't have anybody from a group like that, Republican, Democrat, I don't give a shit. You cannot have groups with strong political ties funding your movement and, you know, and gathering interest for your movement. You can't do that because that will be used as fodder to shut it down immediately.
Well,
you know.
this is the beautiful
Did you see
thing
the we
about
are the
this all.
53%?
There is no political party here. There's no political party involved in any of this. There's Republicans out there, libertarians out
but
there.
I think a lot of Republicans don't think there are Republicans out there. That's a message that I run into a lot.
A lot of Republicans are so goddamn brainwashed, don't even know what a Republican is. A lot of Republicans
Some Democrats
tell
are too,
people that you know? I would register to be a Republican if I really thought that Ron Paul had a chance or that Gary Johnson had a chance. What a real Republican is supposed to be about is supposed to be about small business and staying the fuck out of people's personal lives.
It's Ron Paul.
Yeah, a real Republican, by the way, wouldn't give a shit if you got married if you were gay. A real Republican wouldn't give a shit about what religion you want to practice.
Right. Your business, as long as the government doesn't tell me if it's okay, your
exactly.
business.
A constitutional Republican would
polar opposite of that right now.
Would never be wanting to intersect religion in with politics. What's gone on in this country is people, like always, lump themselves into fucking teams, whether it's Windows versus Mac, or
which is why we can't, you know, which is why they can't allow a certain group that represents a certain team or a certain color or fucking animal glom onto their message, and they're going to have to communicate better to do that.
This is the big question about this Occupy Wall Street thing, is that it's already gotten way past a boiling point, and it's gotten to a point where if the economy doesn't improve and these people don't have to go back to work, well, what the fuck is going to stop them from escalating?
Right.
What the fuck is going to stop this from getting bigger and bigger?
I love when people go, "Give me a job, get a job, you hippie, get a fucking job." It's like,
what
create
jobs?
One for me.
What are you talking
create
about?
Create one for me, and I'll take it. That's why I'm out here, asshole.
Everybody that says get a job today is an asshole.
Yeah.
What? Get a job today.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens come winter.
It's 10% unemployment, and that's just for people who are fucking registering for unemployment. The people that aren't even that's why those numbers are screwy, man. When they say the country is 9% or 10% or what it is, that's just people that are like registering for unemployment.
Right.
How many people are not eligible for unemployment and they're still unemployed?
Right.
How many people have used up their unemployment and they're still unemployed? Mm-hmm. You know,
well, it's because they're playing World of Warcraft. It's because they have no drive. It's because they're alcoholics. It's because they're let's paint whatever negative picture we can on the fact that some people get down on their luck sometimes.
That's what Herman Cain thinks, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Herman Cain is it's your bad. You know, is your ass bleeding? It's not because I raped you. It's because you didn't resist it hard enough. You know, like
he's wrong, but isn't he right too? Isn't he like he's absolutely wrong? And there's certainly people in certain situations, and there's for sure people get a shit roll of the dice, man. I've seen it. We've all seen it.
And some people are just fucking lazy and want to suck off the teat. And a lot of individual greed led to the situations that we have right now. There's it's so multifaceted.
Right.
He's right and he's wrong.
Right. Exactly. What I was going to say is that his point is. It's very simple and generalized, but the reality is many a person has gone from intense poverty to immense wealth, and they've done it by bulldog determination.
Yeah, but they did it when the game wasn't rigged.
Oh, and I don't know about that. I think people are doing that right now, even while the game is rigged.
It's so much harder, though.
Oh, it is, most certainly.
But so much harder.
Well, what do you think has changed in as far as the game being rigged? I mean, what is interest rates are much higher for credit cards, and you know it's harder to get a loan for businesses or to buy a house.
And the jobs that you can get.
But how else is it rigged?
I think the jobs that you can get right now, I mean, the dollar is being so manipulated, I think.
Okay, first of all, to get something big going, you want to get Bill Gates money, you want to get that kind of money, you want to be a baller, you got to make your own shit. You got to make your own shit.
You got to be your own boss,
your own
for sure.
Thing. You got to create your own thing, your own business, your own boss. So do whatever the fuck you got to do, but it's got to be your own thing. That's the only way you make monumental kind of money. And
so you know what? Here, broadband sucks in this country and cellular sucks, so I'm going to start my own carrier, and I'm going to make it awesome, but the game is rigged against me. I can't do that.
Throughout history, people have figured out a way. people have figured out a way in the darkest times to make shit piles of money. So he's wrong in generalizing right there, but he's also right. It is possible. It's just most people aren't willing to do the work to create the possible. There, you have to become like a madman to become super, uber successful in the middle of a fucking down economy. But you can do it.
But there is no middle class anymore. That's yes, right. I think it does take that drive. It does take, I think you said like Steve Jobs ran himself at 11,000 RPM every day and just burnt himself out. It does take that to be at his level. But these aren't people in Times Square. I'm getting back to the movie. I don't think these are people that want to be Steve Jobs necessarily. You know,
like they just want jobs.
They'll take a job. Right, they want a modest house in a modern modest neighborhood. Well, you used to be able to get that for
working
hard.
Don't think that's possible anymore? I mean,
For some people, I don't think it is. Like, if you're born in...
Impossible. Is that a real... Is that possible that something could be impossible?
I don't think anything's impossible. Absolutely not. But should we hang our hats on
But if there's 85%... Let's say the unemployment, the legit unemployment number is 15%. It's probably worse than that. But let's say it's 15% nationwide. Mm-hmm. That still means 85% of the people are working. And if 85% of the people are working, why can't you work? Is there a way to get through? You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I'm not saying you can't really say there is no middle class. For sure, the situation is fucked up. For sure, we're in a terrible financial situation where we've realized that we've been scammed all these years, and essentially defrauded and lied to. And we have a Congress that's bought and paid for. It's pretty obvious.
Absolutely,
no one's prosecuting any of these fucks. Yet they're going after pot dispensaries. I mean, you know what's going on is shameful. In 2011, with the internet, with the access to information that we have, that the government conducts its business this way is absolutely completely shameful.
Right.
But some people are still doing okay. Some people are still getting through.
I'm one of those people. I'm doing all right. Yeah. I made some opportunities for myself. I've been working my ass off since I was 12 years old. I mean, I think it's possible, but I'm not saying there isn't a middle class. There clearly still is, but it is shrinking exponentially.
Yeah.
B of A just offloaded a bunch of fucking bad assets to a branch of their arm that's FDIC insured here in the States. That were European assets. They did this thing that's not supposed to be legal, swiped over a bunch of stuff. So if the euro fails, if there's a financial crisis there, the American taxpayers could end up bailing out the European banks by transferring their assets. I mean, it's so again, I'm doing all right now.
Fuck Bank of America too.
But
like, who's that one guy that just donated a shitload of money to Bank of America? Like some singer or something like that donated a shitload of money to Bank of
donated
America.
Donated to Bank of America?
Not a singer. There's some celebrity guy. Here, I'll find out.
Hmm. Yeah, find out. I've never heard of anybody donating money to a bank. That's crazy.
With all the connectivity that we have in this day and age, just as you're saying, it's crazy that the government is run the way it is, right? Yeah. When I go to pay taxes,
that's what this protest is all about.
Yeah,
people
I think so.
People are awake.
But so, you know, this is a pipe dream. But why not, you know, I pay my taxes online. I pay a lot of taxes online.
Right.
And they trust it enough to be verified, and it's my social security number, and blah, 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 and there's the amount that I'm paying, and the government takes it, state and federal.
Right.
Right? If I can pay my taxes online, we can do a system that does that. Why can't I pay my taxes and then apportion those taxes directly to the funds and the projects and the things that I want? Let me vote truly democratically with my dollars. Now, if we have to set minimum levels, you know, for defense spending or, you know.
Well, you're talking crazy now.
Why?
Because, first of all, this isn't a democracy.
But why not? We dream big.
It's a representative republic, right?
Yeah. I mean,
that's what we are.
We're represented by a handful of people that the corporations own.
You don't even get to know where your money goes. They don't even have to give you a receipt.
So how great would that be if I could decide where it's going to go?
How is that, by the way, that you pay, like, you're probably in like a 38% tax bracket or something, right? You're doing really well.
One year when I wasn't incorporated, like now I'm I can work for myself as a corporation.
Right.
But the last year that I wasn't, I paid 43 or 47% of my income to taxes.
How nutty is that? Let's just round that bitch off to half. You're paying half of your money,
half of
and
it.
You don't even get a statement that says, hey, you helped fix a road. You helped pay for cops. You helped support firefighters. You don't even get a fucking receipt. They don't have to tell you shit.
Nope.
Warren Buffett.
Tell you shit. Oh, Warren Buffett donated to Bank of America?
He, to help Bank of America, I think he bought a bunch of stocks. He bought $357 million, is that what it's
in stocks?
Jesus.
No, invests $5 billion in Bank of America.
Oh, well, that's not donating, buddy.
No, but he did it to help them. That's what his reasoning was.
I'm sure it was purely altruistic.
Please. He's also old as fuck and doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
He's a weird cat. That guy lives in like a regular house. You know, he's a super, super, super rich guy. He lives in like middle America, lives in a regular house.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Does not live extravagantly by any means. And he has apparently donated a substantial portion of his riches to charities when he dies.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, he's an interesting cat, that Warren Buffett.
I like that. I've heard him vilified several times, so that's nice to hear.
Well, he probably feels bad for all the creepy shit that he did to get $100 billion or whatever he's got stashed under his mattress.
He just worked hard, Joe. Anybody can do it. It's not impossible.
You were talking about videos that disturbed you, and that video of the dogs getting killed earlier. There's something that disturbed me way more, and I couldn't even watch it. I just heard about it. It was a baby getting run over in China. The baby got run over back and forth like a bunch of times. Yeah. People stepped over the body of the baby. This video of them stepping over it, and nobody did a goddamn thing about it. It was a 2-year-old baby just wandering around, run over by a truck. The truck sees it ran over it, doesn't do anything about it, gets back in the car, runs over it again with its back
wheels. Oh, with the back wheels?
Yeah, and then another person runs over. I mean, it's as human beings, man, you know, we have to look at what are we like at our worst? What are we like at the most callous and unloving? Mm-hmm. That's got to be an example of that, right up there with war. You know, that's
you got to at least leave a note like, sorry, I hit your baby. Here's my license plate. I'm insured. You got to at least do that because that's fucked up.
Well, I don't know whose fucking baby was just wandering around the streets. First of all, you know, there was no one that did anything about it. They didn't even know the baby was run over. There was no screaming. There was no, oh my God, where's my baby? Just when population density gets to a certain number and the value of life diminishes because there's just too many goddamn humans and literally not enough food for people. So instead of someone being valuable, you're actually a hindrance. Everybody's a hindrance.
Right. You're a resource drain. I'm sorry, but that's what you are at times. And thankfully, Siri is going to figure out how to turn us all into batteries. And the Matrix is going to fucking happen, guys. Yeah. Siri's going to figure that shit out.
Well, if it's not that, it may be aliens. You know, one of the things I've always said about aliens, you know, people think I have several friends that are obsessed with aliens. Eddie Bravo being the biggest one. He fucking loves UFOs, loves the idea that they're out there, man. They're out there. It's so exciting for him. It's so sexy for him. Me, I'm not so convinced. I look it around at all the goddamn video footage that people have on their cell phones, and then I see the video footage of UFOs, and I'm like, this is horseshit. These are fake. They just smell to me. They all stink. Nothing seems real. There's not a single fucking video of anyone, you know, spotting a little gray man running around their backyard. And that doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean that if they were here, they couldn't avoid detection. But I don't believe it. And my other take on it is that if they did exist, we probably wouldn't want them here. Because guess what? They're not going to just let us run things as usual and give us more information so we can blow each other up quicker.
Right.
No, they're going to treat us the same way we treat dolphins and whales. We don't give a fuck about them. You know, we kill whales every day. Not you and I, obviously, but people in this world kill whales every day. We take dolphins, we Americans do, and we lock them in fish tanks. We take these amazing animals and we put them in a fucking swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And we don't give a shit about them. You know, we really don't.
Escaped from a zoo, it's like, that's because you put it in a prison. It escaped. It went home, asshole. It
got free of your fucking jail. It didn't escape. You know, you lock this guy up for nothing. But why would we think that anything more intelligent than us would treat us any differently than we treat the most intelligent things that we're aware of? Chimpanzees and dolphins are the most intelligent, and orcas are the most intelligent things that we're aware of. We just lock them up. We don't give a fuck, man. We experiment on them. Mm-hmm. You know, we put them in cages. We teach them how to do tricks for our amusement. You know, why the fuck would we think that aliens would do anything different? We steal their babies, man. Chimpanzees, dolphins, orcas, we steal their fucking babies.
What if we are a zoo for the aliens?
We very well could be, man.
Are just walking around right now, invisible, going, can you believe they're doing that shit?
Right.
Oh, my God. Well, let's make this guy do that and see what happens. Like, oh, my God.
Well, if you think about, you know, what we're capable of right now, you ever go to the wild animal park in San Diego?
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing, right? Huge, huge place. You drive around there. I mean, these animals have habitat, dude. Did you ever feed the giraffes?
I actually never went there, but that's where Cliffy B is getting married.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Powerful.
Like Cliffy on a giraffe? Or?
He somehow got it set up. Yeah, he's going to get...
He's a crafty dude. That sounds like something he would do. It's an amazing setup. They have a lot of room. These animals, it's not ideal, but they have a lot of room. So just extrapolate that. Take that to 100 million years of evolution or whatever the fuck. You know, who knows how long, you know, life can exist on certain planets, and they could be so fucking sophisticated. They could have, like, not just created a planet, but, you know, but engineered our whole environment. You know?
Well, let's see what happens here. It's truly Sim Earth.
Yeah.
The same way we do it with ants in video games or now people in The Sims. Like, what if they just, let's see how this one turns out.
Could you imagine if the whole idea of asteroidal impacts and, you know, a mass extinction events was actually a programmed cycle? that we're just not aware of it. We just are still assuming that there's sort of a random nature to all these rocks out there colliding. Mm-hmm. But really, they just happen every certain amount of millions of years. Just some sort of a global reset mm-hmm. that just keeps going on.
Getting defragged.
Yeah, until your civilization becomes so intelligent that it can spot it and prevent it. You know, that's the mad race.
That's like the test.
Yeah, the mad race is to get off the planet in some sort of an artificial environment that you control, be it a large spaceship or a giant artificial planet, and to avoid all the cosmic impacts, solar flares, you know, all the really big shit that happens, supernovas, you know, like when hypernovas happen, you know, everything anywhere near it in the galaxy just gets cooked instantly. And that shit can happen to us.
That's why I hate that I wasn't fucking alive for the space race. I'm serious.
In the 60s, really?
Yeah. I mean, the notion of it, and it might be like a nostalgia that I've absorbed. Not as much. It's more about who can fire lasers from satellites now. It's not about, like, let's explore. And I know that was the bill of goods that we were sold. I'm sure it had a lot to do with defense testing and everything else, but... You know, if all the money that we did, and I know this is just me wishing we could vote with our tax dollars again, but like if a fraction of the money we've spent blowing shit up in some other fucking country was spent to just solving something like a problem for humanity here.
Oh, no doubt.
We could be leaders again, and we could be, you know, positively revered, and we could fucking help the world.
Yeah, well, not even just that. I mean, just
I'm going to sing that in a booth curiosity group of people.
The curiosity of expression of, you know, just traveling the fucking universe and finding out what it is like on Mars. You know, have humans set up some sort of a civilization on Mars where they, you know, they, what is that called? Where they, you take a
total recall?
No, where you take an environment and you you sort of engineer it to geoforming.
Like there's like
geoforming. Yeah, when you recreate.
We need more ozone. All right, let's do that. We need some water here. Let's ship that in. You know, create, let's terraform on this level
an environment. You know, and they said that you could do this. That you could take machines and you could build them on Mars. Massive machines, like literally the size of cities. Like they would be like a Manhattan sized machine, and that machine would just be pumping oxygen into the environment, and that somehow or another
it's called the reactor. Yeah. And Quaid starts it with his alien hand. Did you not see Total Recall?
I did see that. So is that what it was in Total Recall?
Start the reactor. And he pushes the reactor and the rods go in and the fucking oxygen on the planet.
Oh, that's right.
And it stops Arnold's head from freaking out when he's on the side of the mountain.
That's right. Isn't that amazing? His eyes are bugging out. Yeah. That's some stupid movie is actually based on real scientific ideas.
The three boob thing. I would
definitely. Three boob thing.
I could get behind
girls
that.
A lot of nipples. You can get an implant in the third one. No one's ever done it. You know, when girls have three nipples.
I've never heard of a girl really having three nipples.
Oh, you've never seen one? Yeah, I know a couple people. I know guys and girls that have three nipples.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they like next to each other?
It's creepy because it's just like the nipple part. It's not the areola.
Oh, wow.
So it's just like this weird nipple.
I guess out of all freak show genetic mishaps you can have, that ain't that bad. You know,
to have an extra nipple.
I got an extra nipple. Who's going to complain?
Yeah.
You know, extra testicle wouldn't be that bad either.
Yeah, that'd be
maybe.
Good.
What if your loads are just overwhelming?
Like, there's some guys want that.
Yeah, maybe it was too much.
I saw a product at GNC called Max Load next to the checkout counter.
GNC
on the counter. I took a photo of it. It made me laugh so hard. I tweeted it, and it said, "Come harder, come longer, come like better." It was like three hits, and it was like, you know, fucking Max Load
GNC.
Or whatever. Yeah, on the counter. No, but the checkout counter, like where a take a penny, leave a penny should be. It was like, dudes, come harder. That was on the counter at the GNC.
That's amazing. What a crazy world we live in.
And it fucking did not work.
That is internet
did not
pork.
Work.
Didn't work at all?
I fucking came pixie dust for like a week.
Oh, that's poor little girl.
It was just glitter and wishes.
Did it taste different?
No, citrusy.
Do you think that's the internet that's got people so desensitized? You
there's pills? Fetish porn now where they're using fake dicks and pumping gallons of fake semen out of them.
I've seen
to
that.
Splash all over people.
So
and they're
stupid.
And they're doing like drive-by cum shots and like splattering girls that are just walking down the sidewalk.
Okay,
and,
like, that's actually pretty
That'd be hilarious if that's how the like gangs settled their warfare with drive-by cum shots.
That's actually pretty funny.
It'd be brilliant.
Well, what are they going to do when CGI gets to a point where everybody can afford it, including, you know, porn companies?
Right.
And they
it's on
have,
your phone.
Yeah,
it'll be real time.
They have, like, you know, Japanese, what is that called? That hentai?
Hentai? Yeah, where their tentacles look real.
They'll have that, but in realistic human form.
They're so close, dude. They're so close.
Oh, yeah. Women will just get
I think it's going to be procedurally generated, dude. You're going to be able to go to a website and through series and knobs, select exactly the kind of woman you want, fucking slide her tits, choose her height, the hair color, select the scenes and positions, and hit play. And that shit is going to auto-generate, and it's going to destroy humanity.
What'll happen first, holograms or virtual reality that's super realistic?
Well, it depends on your definition of super realistic. For me, like, virtual reality isn't true virtual reality unless the shit is beaming into my brain. Right. Unless it beamed into it or right. electrified into it. I don't care if it's through a helmet or a glove. But until my brain is being tricked to imagine ones and zeros, I'm not going to call VR VR.
Do you think it's impossible to do that without some sort of an electronic aid? Or do you think that they'll be able to figure out, I thought at one point in time, I don't know about the science behind this because this is all just out of my imagination, but that there may be a frequency that they can tune into, that the human mind can tune into for whatever reason.
Right.
That they may be able to find a frequency that you could tune into where when you put yourself in a relaxed state, it can generate thoughts.
You know what I think? I just had a bizarre thought about that. I was like, no, what they'll do is they'll engineer, because like the transhumanism thing, they'll create a chip first that allows right. you to perceive that, but you'll still need power right. to generate it. But then we'll get so good with like fucking manipulating molecules and DNA, we'll create the cell that will be put into something virus style that gives people perception to that. So imagine like a chip for Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. We're going to engineer that on a biochemical level so that you can now perceive this thing. So you and I can communicate telepathically. This device can beam the images into me.
Wow.
Why not, right?
Why not,
like
right?
Like a flu shot.
Yeah. Like, but like, yeah, but a viral fucking, you know,
or yeah,
Bluetooth chip. But Bluetooth kind of sucks.
If they're Bluetooth 7.0. If they're talking about genetic engineering and they're always talking about the possibility of nanobots right. to go in and cure cancer.
Right.
Yeah, what about the idea of artificial cells? I mean, what was it that they just discovered recently? They created something that reproduced itself in a lab for the first time.
Yeah.
What was it?
I saw something like that.
I forget what it was. Some small structure, an atom or whatever it was mm-hmm. that reproduced itself. What if they can create artificial cells? They inject this artificial cell into you, and slowly but surely, over the course of however long it takes to regenerate inside right. all of your tissue, you become like a superhuman.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely see that happening.
That's not outside the realm of possibility.
No. And what concerns me is the potential. We think we're having class warfare now.
Oh my God.
Imagine the have and have nots in that day and age.
Oh my God.
When it's like, it's pure Gattaca shit of like, well, hey, I was born with it because I got upgraded.
Right.
And, you know, I can perceive this shit that you can't and manipulate you with my mind. So, sorry, you're just a thing. We're going to enslave ourselves before the aliens do.
Wow. I don't see any escape from the technological singularity. Do you? Do you see any? I mean, I don't see any escape from artificial intelligence.
I worry that stunted minds will not allow us to evolve to that point.
I don't think they have a chance to get to that point. I don't think those stunted minds have a fucking chance. I think it'll be on them before they even know what hit them. I think no one is stopping the onset of artificial intelligence. No one is putting the brakes to it. Everybody's worrying about weapons. Everybody's worrying about these threats from terrorists right. and all these different things. What about a sentient, super intelligent computer that can do things?
I think we're so on the path to that.
We're absolutely on the path to it,
but we don't know. You know, it may look at us and just go, you're molecules.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I could use you more efficiently. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know if it's going to be that way. We don't know if whoever gets it first, whether it's the U.S. or the Chinese, they're going to put a hook in it that allows them to use it for whatever they want.
I think it's
we don't really know. Like, the AI might become the next nuclear weapon before it becomes sentient enough to stop ourselves from blowing the shit out of each other.
That is possible, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think once something becomes sentient, we're done. I don't think we have any more say in anything. And I think the idea of controlling it once it has the ability to rationalize and realize how right. silly we are.
No, I agree with that.
As a species.
I agree that if we get to that, it's going to happen. But there is a sliding scale of fully sentient AI and where we're at now.
Mm.
And I'm worried that right here, when we're almost there, right here, right. it's going to be just powerful enough and someone's going to have it and use it to...
Yeah,
take the rest of the world all the way back.
That is the Mad Max scenario, right?
Yeah.
That's the story that they tell after the apocalypse.
That's
after
it.
After it's all over.
You know?
Of how close we were, and the scientists sit around and discuss how close we were to changing the world. And now they realize that they're old men and there's no medicine around anymore. You barely can find gasoline. And
We could have had it all. And a few greedy men who still live on with that AI still have it.
And then 10,000 years from now. The 1%. People find all these different ruins in America when America's right. covered with ice and then the ice withdraws again. You know, just like it's happened before, right?
Absolutely.
Fuck.
And maybe they'll find a thumb drive frozen in ice and maybe one day figure out how to, unencrypt it. But I doubt it.
I doubt it. But they do find things. They do find some old fucking shit they can't account for. You know, the idea of glaciers, though, the real problem with glaciers, we had Graham Hancock in here. I don't know if you listened to that one. He's a fascinating dude who...
Are you talking about chicks that look skinny from the waist up? Oh, those are icebergs. Sorry. Glaciers.
Chicks that look skinny from the waist up are icebergs?
Call them icebergs because above the surface, they look all right, but down below, it's...
Oh, that's hilarious.
So, I'm sorry, glaciers.
Glaciers. Glaciers move on land and essentially grind everything underneath them down to nothing. Because they move, you know, several feet a year or whatever they do. But they're essentially a mile-high sheet of ice that's slowly moving its way across the ground. And anything
out of my way, bro.
To be there. Any buildings, anything. Done. Giant boulders moved miles.
It's a slow-mo tsunami.
Yeah.
Huge. It's like a slow-mo frozen tsunami. Just like, later.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
powerful is that imagery?
Have you ever been to the Great Lakes?
No.
That's how powerful the imagery is. You have to go. The Great Lakes are something to really wrap your head around. I mean, the oceans really made me think. Obviously, you know, everybody looks at the ocean and goes, wow, it's so big. That's amazing.
Right.
But until you see a freshwater ocean and you go, that used to be ice and it melted. It used to be a giant sheet of ice, and that's why it's here. I mean, the Great Lakes are magnificent. They're amazing, man. They're so fucking
big. I was
big.
Just near them, too, for a wedding. I'm kind of pissed I didn't get out there.
Oh, you got
to go. But I had to
man.
See a Cracker Barrel, so we went out of the way to see that shit.
We
I'm
flew
like,
into
they frame
it.
Their racists. Yeah. It's amazing.
They what?
In the Cracker Barrel. When you go inside, it's just photos of old slave owners just framed around watching you eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Really?
I like the gift shop. It's like all licorice whips and like old school Amish games. Did you see that shit? Speaking of the Midwest, all the animals. Have you seen all the photos and videos of all that?
Yeah, I put that on my Twitter. What we were talking about is there was a guy in Ohio who was running a wild animal preserve, shot himself, and released all the animals.
I didn't know that was the catalyst.
He committed suicide. He let all the animals go, and then he committed suicide, which is kind of interesting. I wonder why the dude
did he leave a note like, I can't imprison these guys anymore?
I don't know.
Set them free.
I wonder why he didn't just let one of the tigers jack him. If you're going to kill yourself, why not just kill yourself by tiger? That'd be wild.
Well, you know, when you have the option.
Hey, you're around these wild animals every day. You know it'd be quick. It wouldn't take long at all. Just jump in there naked and go, what, bitch? What?
Yeah.
There's something weird about the whole story, though, because, like, the sheriff knew him very well. I guess he had to go up there all the time. Like, there was shit going on all the time with this guy. And if you look at his house on Google Maps, it's actually listed as a Harley, like, motorcycle shop. So he had a farm.
Was it, like, an illegal preserve he was running out the back? Like,
I don't think it was illegal.
No, I don't think it was illegal. Okay. But so it's weird. Like, I want to know the whole story. Like, what this guy was going on with this guy. And now Jack Hanna, the Columbus Zoo, is overlooking this whole thing. But I was surprised that they couldn't. You know, I know they had to shoot a lot of them, but this seems like there's some of them they could have tried, you know, to tranquilize or something like that.
The police force didn't have a chance, man. You know what was going on?
Yeah, but the zoo, honestly, is like 30 miles away from where this happened.
Yeah, but do you understand?
Do they have the resources to get out there? Like, I mean,
the animals were out, and there's people living there, and there's 40 fucking 50 animals and tigers and bears and shit.
This isn't mountain lion poaches poodle on Runyon Canyon.
Yeah.
This is
if you go to my Twitter today while we're recording this, a lot of people get this online, but today is October 9th. So if you go to my Twitter on October 19th, I retweeted somebody about this. The guy's name is Kenny Royer 3.
He looks like a winner, too.
He might be.
Have you seen his face? Here's his face right there on Ustream.
It's okay. Anyway, I went to...
what did he write? Did he write a story about it?
No, he tweeted it to me, and I retweeted it. But there's a photo. If you go to cleavescene.com. I guess that's a Cleveland website, cleavescene.com. It's very graphic. There's an image of all of these animals just laid out, murdered.
Yeah.
Tigers and bears, a bunch of them, lions, panthers.
Were they all like in a group?
Yeah, they're all in a pile here. They hunted them down.
I see that?
The cops hunted them down. Yeah, come on over. The cops hunted them down and just shot them all. You know, you got to think of what the cops are dealing with. The cops are dealing with 50 fucking killers, 50 wild killers that are aggressive and they're wandering the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they got to do what they got to do. It sucks that these animals had to die, but you know what? It sucks these animals were in a fucking cage in some asshole's backyard.
Well, How was one guy able to release all those animals? Like, was there nobody else on this preserve?
It was his gig. It was his.
He just unlocked them all.
And that's responsible.
I talked
for
to my sister who lives very close to this, and I said, you know, what are they saying to you guys? And they're like, well, they're saying that they're shooting all the animals because they all have herpes and stuff. Is what they're saying on the news is that the animals are all infected with
the
some
last
kind of
thing you have to worry about is the tiger. With herpes.
You don't know the way I think, dude. I'm like, I have a chance to fuck a lion later, bro. I'm fucking YouTubing this.
Get some lion herpes. Your dick looks like a cactus. Your dick just grows these cactus things off the side of it.
Yeah, but I guess something about herpes. That's what they're saying.
I think your sister's crazy.
No.
No.
Well, they might have been saying that to they might have been saying that to people too, so they didn't feel like, oh, you're killing the tigers.
I know they treat people like they're idiots in Ohio, but they don't treat them like they're that stupid.
Yeah, it says Muskingum County Sheriff says monkey with herpes virus still missing.
Oh, that's the one they haven't got yet.
Oh, yeah. You know what? They probably don't want anybody. They don't want anybody keeping that monkey as a pet.
Hell yeah! Right.
Maybe that monkey knows things. Maybe you get that monkey, and that monkey's one of those fucking Planet of the Apes monkeys right? that starts talking to you.
Did you see that?
They know that there's an alien coming. They know that there's an asteroid. You can't stop it. The alien's going to land right before the asteroid. There's a little monkey talking to you.
Did you watch the Planet of the Apes remake? Did you guys see that?
No. Yeah, we talked about it a couple of times. I liked it. I liked the special effects. It's badass. It's fascinating, you know. When you talk about manipulating genetics, you know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that they've already done something like that. They've already created some sort of a chimpanzee-human being hybrid.
Well, dude, when they tell you the shit that they tell you they have done already, you know that there's a clone baby being monitored right now somewhere out there, and they're seeing exactly how that worked, and genetically engineered kids out there, they're running tests on them right now. Like, that's absolutely happening.
I've always said that by the time they tell you that they're capable of making a clone, the guy telling you is probably a clone.
Right.
It's been that
long. There are clones. Yeah. I'm the proof. Here you go.
I wonder how far ahead they really are. I would really love to know. You know, every now and then I hear like whispers of things, of technology, of like military technology that's so far and above, you know, the realm of what we currently think is possible.
We always hear like they have the satellites that can zoom in on a hot dog on your grill, and they had those in 1983, man.
Right.
They probably do.
I don't know. You know. I've never seen any images from space that were like really clear like that. Like they could read a license plate. I've never seen that.
Well, there was a point in time where they had Google imagery quality map and you weren't able to see that. And now we can see that, and then we can see 3D versions of it and street views and all that other shit. If we have access to that data, you know they've got better access than that. They have to. They've got to have real time video something.
Yeah, there must be some.
And I don't have shit. Look, I have a tinfoil hat that says I bet they have it, but that's about it.
Well, when I was hanging out with my friend Mike Swick. My friend Mike Swick's a UFC fighter who used to live in Russia. Mm-hmm. And he was doing defense contractor work over there. And they had an American building, and they would find bugs that the Russians had installed in their buildings. And he said they were so sophisticated. It was so far above anything they had ever seen before. They had monitoring devices that were powered by the movement of the building.
Mm-hmm. So by the subtle vibrations. It's like...
No. You know how buildings sway? Yeah. There's a subtle swaying back and forth that was powering these listening devices.
Yeah.
They were that sophisticated.
That's like those shake to charge iPod holders. Yeah. Like, but they have it on that level that they can get the sway of a building and a device low powerful enough and mesh networked enough to spread those ideas.
And that's how they were listening in on shit.
China was just involved in a huge scandal for that. For was it China or Korea? That's bad that I don't know the difference for this article.
You.
No, it's I know the difference of the places. I don't know the source of the article.
For a shit storm
but
online.
They had a... Yeah, bring it. They already kicked my ass in StarCraft. Oh, wait. Which ones are those?
Those are Koreans.
Thank you. They had little bugs in cars, and they thought, they were like, listen, this is just tracking how often you drive for discounts or for, you know, carpool riders and to help you get through the... It's like a fast pass lane kind of thing, right? This will just help you get through the toll booth. It had audio recording and some said video recording built into the tiniest little bug that was sitting on their dash so that they could monitor everybody.
Wow. Dude, eventually someone's going to hack Apple, and they're going to get into your fucking webcam.
Your cloud. Then they're going to get in your cloud.
A million people beating off videos of people sitting in front of their computers. Your computer has a monitor on it. Your computer has a camera on it, and you're connected to the internet. And you're just assuming that nobody's watching. You beat off like a lab rat.
Right. The Xbox. The Xbox cameras and all the laptop lenses. But the thing I'm worried about is the photo stream. And like you said earlier, off camera, that you turned off your photo stream, which is a new thing on the new iPhones and stuff like that. It's the cloud. So every time you take a photo, it sends it to your home computer. It sends it to your iPad. Sends it to whatever. And you can't delete the photo. Which is really annoying, but
you can't delete them from your phone, or you can't delete
from
them
the photo stream.
You can't delete them from the photo stream.
Yeah, you can't.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like once it's in the photo stream, you can't delete it. I don't know if there's a way to do it, but like you try it on your phone or anything, there's no way to delete.
What about
photo.
On your home computer?
I'm sure on your main computer,
maybe on your main computer.
But think about that time you do snap a photo out at a party or something like that,
right?
And it's oh shit, it's already on my photo stream. I can't get to my laptop.
And Mrs. Pereira opens up your laptop and says, "God damn it, Kevin."
Yeah. Or Bobby, who's in his car sniping your Wi-Fi or whatever, now has all your photos.
Yep.
You know,
is that easy?
Someone snipes
your Wi-Fi, they can't get your photos.
Oh,
they
have to get into your computer. Oh yeah, there are applications. I've run one at the airport, and in Vegas. And you run it up on your Mac, and you connect to like the public Wi-Fi, and as people browse Facebook mm-hmm. and as GIFs and JPEGs pop in, it automatically reassembles them on the monitor for you.
Oh,
so you can sit
God.
In the lobby of a small airport and just look around and see what everybody's looking at.
One of my favorite Mac things. Or PC?
This was a Mac program. I think it wasn't Kismet. There was a. I'll give you the app.
So does everyone else have to be on a Mac, or can they be on
anything? No, if they're just connected to Wi-Fi and browsing certain services and certain packets are coming in, you can do that.
So it was PC or Mac, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
So that's
just
not secure.
It's the Wi-Fi.
So that's incredible. Yeah. So what you're telling me is you're a criminal. You were committing a crime.
No, because these photos are in the shared folder, right? Is that what you're saying? Because
these photos were being downloaded and uploaded potentially on a public unsecured. Well, you had to log in, but a public, secured Wi-Fi spot.
Right.
But people were sending them.
It could be some dirty hooker who's got one of them Facebook pages that you have to get her friend to look at.
Yeah, it absolutely could have been.
Showing some titty.
It absolutely could have been.
You could have got that titty for free.
I have this video called Kitty Fart Cup, and anytime I'm on the road with Joe, we're sitting at the airport, I look at people with shared folders and stuff, and I'll just drag this video into I've done it like a million times.
I do that every Comic-Con. Yeah, every Comic-Con I seed into public folders at the hotel, because if you're connected, never connect to hotel systems. And, never connect to a hotel network. That's like laying on the mattress naked. And do not do that. You're asking for people to fuck with your computer.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is you could actually sit there and fuck people over by like putting child porn on people's computers. And then if that person gets arrested, you have child porn on your computers.
They caught a guy doing that. They caught a next door neighbor who had been terrifying these people for fucking years doing exactly that. And they he turned them in, and this guy is their next door neighbor is terrorizing the whole fucking family.
Do you know that there's a child pornography checksum database?
What?
So checksums are what you use, it's like a file's ID. It's thumbprint. So if you download a file and you want to make sure you got it exactly as it should be, it's a way of verifying the file to make sure no bits were altered or harmed in the transmission. Mm-hmm. They have a database of every child pornography and illegal pornography video sorted by title with checksums. So that way, if the police are scanning Wi-Fi or get somebody's files from the internet, they can match the checksum of the file on their hard drive to one that's already in the database and see if it's in there so they don't have to watch the video.
Whoa.
But they've got that database already.
So it's impossible for another video to have the same amount of bytes? Like, what if it's the exact same amount of seconds and the same resolution?
Well, it's also based off the content of the file as well. Whoa. So it's not just a length thing.
So it's not just a size. There's an actual
There's 1,000 attributes that go into it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How are they reading that? Just they're analyzing each and every individual file?
I think this is pure conjecture, actually, I shouldn't be saying it. But I would imagine if you're doing a checksum, it could just know that every 100 bytes, here's a character string here, so there's a check for it there. Oh. Every X bytes, this is the character, this is the hex, put it there. I think it's way more elegant than that, because I can already poke holes in that. But
Think about how crazy,
there is a way to do
think about how crazy Shazam is. Think about that thing, that program where you go to a club and there's a song playing and you like the song, so you press Shazam, it sends a signal, and 10 seconds later it tells you what that fucking
Analyze
song is.
The file, here it is.
And I'm not exaggerating. If you've never used Shazam, it's fucking incredible. It's 10 seconds later. Think of that. It's basically the same thing.
But they have that now for TV as well. Yeah. They have that for video. Yeah. They're going to have that for all that shit, like the image and app recognition image engine.
What a weird world we live in.
Have you guys talked about Siri becoming Skynet?
No, we haven't.
I talked about
someone
it.
Do you want to hop into that?
Yes, please, because someone actually sent me something we had talked about on the show.
Oh, real quick, dude.
Please,
sorry, just
ahead.
So I don't get raped on Twitter. I believe you analyze the file locally and it spits out a checksum. So it is checking every bit of the file. And then you check that against the public checksum.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just so I don't want to deal with those tweets tonight.
Right.
I can't do my soul.
Like Kevin.
It's not in my soul anymore, man. I'm just trying to help. So with that said, I'm sorry.
Well, okay. So someone wrote that I said that Siri was based on Wolfram Alpha, but it's not exactly true. It's integrated.
It incorporates Wolfram Alpha.
It's integrated. But this is where it gets crazy. It's based on Callo, the cognitive assistant that learns and organizes, from a company called SRI International.
Right.
And it was artificial intelligence augmentation software developed for DARPA.
Right.
The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. That's those are the motherfuckers that really are Skynet.
So if this is the version we have now, what's stopping them from tapping a phone line, grabbing a voice chat, taking the audio from this podcast and analyzing it in real time, just like Shazam, and pulling out those keywords and those context cues?
This is fascinating.
Because we have the dumbed down version right now. They've got the hot dog on the grill satellite version of it.
iPhone 5 version.
Yeah, why is it so crazy to think that?
Right.
Yeah, and this guy also wrote something about how Facebook was funded by TIA, Total Information Awareness.
Mm-hmm. Facebook is starting office. Their own super PAC to lobby the government on privacy and information controls.
What?
And what we should have rights to. Because they want to own the rights to your usage data, your social graph, your preferences. They want to own that data. They want essentially want to own your imprint online, right? They want to own your browsing habits, where you shop. They want to know what music you like. They want to know what friends you connect with, where you go, who you share things with.
I'm already MySpacing Facebook lately, you know.
But you're kind of alone in that right now. Right. Like, it's growing, right? It's growing more and more. Integrating more and more.
Do you think Twitter has kind of overtaken Facebook for the most part? I know a lot of people, when I talk to, you know, like, I just tweet now.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that don't do Facebook anymore. Well, the interesting thing
about
Twitter
is they can still cobble that together from your tweet.
It's more real time. You know, you're responding to people back and forth. It's very in a very similar way to text messaging. You know, and a lot of it's essentially for a lot of what I use it for. I throw things out there, interesting links. I retweet things, things I observe, photos I take. But I also go back and forth with people. I'll shoot the shit with people. And it's people I would, you know, ordinarily never really get a chance to run into or meet.
Like my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Well, she tweeted something ridiculous.
Yeah, it is facilitating a real-time conversation.
Are you upset that I said something to her?
Nothing, no.
Oh, you would prefer no one to communicate with her?
No. Oh, whatever.
Who got the,
but, so here's
what
my here's my
got
question.
The rights
listen,
to her
listen,
after the break.
Listen,
that's
listen,
always
you
the
brought
worst.
You brought this up, so I have to say this. This is what I said. She by the way is Penthouse Pet of the Year. Okay. She's talking to another porno star, and the other porno star says, "I feel a bad cold coming on. Who wants to make out?" And she says, "I'll make out with your butt." So I on Twitter say, "Wow, just wow." That's the extent of my communication with her. Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to fuck his ex-girlfriend?
She says, "What are you wowing?" I ignore it. I just have to say, "Wow." If you run around tweeting to the whole world that you want to make out with a cold carrying porn star's butt, I gotta wow you.
Right. Here's my question for Siri.
You're trying to fuck her, Joe.
Do you think that there is
sloppy
somebody?
Seconds from
at,
Ryan.
Do you think there is anybody at Siri that is like? Continuing to add to the database? Do you think they're looking at the top 10 things that people are asking?
Here's the thing.
And going,
why does Siri need to connect to the cloud for anything that I do, even if it's a local operation, right? Read my text messages. Those are already on my device. If I say play Joe Rogan's podcast, it has to send it to the cloud first. And they'll say it's for voice recognition. You know, it's faster
it's
in the cloud than it does on your phone. But
it's the program itself. The database has to be huge for Siri, wouldn't
but
it?
But for local things, it could store that. It could totally do that. And maybe they will in the future. But I think the reason they're making everything go to the net is for the usage data.
Yeah.
Because then they can see what keywords are happening,
make
what
it
searches
better,
people are doing. Absolutely, they can make it better.
Right.
But with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
And what's crazy is that I had a friend that got mad at another friend for cursing at his Siri to be like, "Fuck you, Siri. You're a bitch." And he took the phone away and he's like, "Dude, don't do that. I don't want that in my profile." And he was concerned about acting a certain way to a pretty dumb artificial intelligence.
That. The murder thing? I've thought about the murder thing.
Well, now
the
it's on file.
Thing.
Now it's on
thing.
File.
Did you do the president thing yet?
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
When you ask Siri a question, that's being stored somewhere. That request is indefinitely stored in some log right now. So if you ever are presumed they you murder somebody or someone suspects you of a murder, they can now trot out on the stand, "You asked your cell phone where to hide a body."
I wonder if they have that. I want to know, does Apple say anywhere in those terms and agreement that they're holding on to the data of what we're saying in Siri? Is that one of the things?
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it says that it's for usage data, which what does that mean?
I wonder.
That is kind of crazy that they have to send it out to the cloud.
Yeah. Now, there's infrastructure reasons to do that. There's also terrible usability reasons to not do that, being that if you have AT&T, half the time Siri doesn't work because you don't have a strong enough signal to get out to her. What?
We're faster.
What?
What's that?
We're faster when it's available. So I'm on AT&T, but it's still a shitty network. There's no like bones about that.
Yeah.
But
I couldn't do AT&T. He told me that I got a new iPhone, and he told me that AT&T changed their system so that they can get double the speed of downloads. And
it's not double. It's
well, it's up to it could
good.
Be.
It's like it's 3.5G.
Well, I tried it,
but it's faster. Yes.
Yeah. Whatever it
but
is.
But LTE is
going
to blow that away. The next iPhone with LTE on Verizon is going to be amazing.
I don't have that in my current one, but I do have Verizon, and I just was unable to pass on Verizon.
Why
Verizon
said,
is just too good.
Why I said double is actually I have my girlfriend's new phone, 4S, and the 4, both on AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Did both at the same time. The 4S was double. The speed where I was at.
That's great.
Which was my house.
That's in a really good area. I mean, I don't get those speeds anywhere myself. I still get duck calls in the canyons.
Yeah.
But I think you look at how, like, think about Siri as that API opens up. Because right now I could say, show me a good steak restaurant, and it'll do that. It'll pop that up. You know, then I could say, call that steak restaurant. But once OpenTable supports it, I can say, hey, Siri,
right,
book me reservation for 4 at 6 at that restaurant. And it's just going to connect to the database, do it. There we go. Invite my friends. Invite Joe. You know,
the texting alone, I think, is the best when you're just driving. You push the button. Yeah. And it was pretty accurate.
But Google has had that for a while.
It doesn't work this good, though.
This works pretty damn
this good, works
though.
Almost perfect.
Really?
I probably fuck up more just doing it by hand.
I've
and not
tried
looking.
The Google
Although
one.
It's weird speaking into it because you still got to kind of talk to it like a robot. You can't be totally fluent with it. And for like grammatical things, like I'm still a stickler with grammar, even in text. Uh-huh. So I'll be like, hey, Joe, comma. I'm going to be a little late, period. Hope that's okay, period.
Does it write period and comma?
It actually drops the period in there. Yeah.
Have you ever tried writing like that with like, you know, I know they have what is it, the software
like
called?
A Dragon Speak?
Dragon, or the naturally speaking, yeah.
Yeah, I've tried that before, but I write in a different, at a different pace with a different cadence than I speak.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was really disjointed. Like I would say something and then be wanting to change that. I edit as I write.
Yeah.
It's really, really a terrible way to write. But doing that verbally was even harder.
No,
my brain was already past the sentence, and I was like, oh, shit.
I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I like the idea of it, and what I had thought about doing was writing at the same time as running the program in the background. So the program would pick up some of the words and some of the things that I would say. So just in case, I couldn't remember what the fuck I had said while I was writing things. But I agree with you. There's an attention to actually physically typing out each individual letter. The way I describe it is if you write the word occupy, it takes longer to write the word occupy than to know it.
Or
to know what you're saying, to know what you're thinking. So it forces you to think about things just a little bit longer. And creatively, to me at least, it opens up different avenues for possibilities, for potentials. Like the way I always get my biggest is when I'm writing. Because I get them in ad-libbing on stage and stuff.
Sure.
But in actually sitting down and writing about something, that's when, you know, just paths just appear. You know, roads just show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think you'd
see. I get crippling anxiety. I love to do it, and it's so releasing. But when I do it, I just see those roads as highways that have sheer cliffs at the end of them, and I'm just gotta commit one.
You gotta commit to one.
That's not good writing music. Yeah. What do you listen to music when you write?
I try to listen to language that I don't understand. I like Brazilian music or Puerto Rican music. I like Spanish.
I can't do
music
with lyrics, even if I don't understand them.
I can do it in the background a little bit as long as I don't understand it. Or sometimes if I'm really high, especially on edibles, I'll pick one song and just throw that bitch on reboot,
right,
and I'll listen to the same song 100 times in a row.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So I wrote some of my best shit on a plane. Blasted listening to the same song over and over and over again.
Have you heard the song Pumped Up Kicks? I know you probably have.
Yeah.
Have you know what that song's about?
We talked about this last podcast.
I didn't know we talked
about it. Yeah, we talked about, I think we might have talked about it off the
air.
I think
we talked about it in the green room or something like that.
Oh, okay. But that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was the lyrics are all about Columbine. And it's like, that was one, like a song I might maybe listen to like 10 times, loved the song. And then Johnny Rotten told me, hey, you know, that's all about Columbine. And now it's even more crazy. And I love the lyrics. I mean, it's scary. It's freaky.
Yeah, it's absolutely. But, and it's also crazy that people are just dancing around to it like it's pop music too without thinking about
Nam Phan came into the Octagon with that.
Oh, really?
That's what he was playing when he came into the Octagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Run, baby, run. Yeah. Outrun my bullet.
There's like a frequency spectrum that's supposed to induce that kind of zoning out, and I started writing with that lately. It's pretty crazy.
Can't do it
all the time. If you search, it's like there's meditation videos, and it's like 900 and something hertz sine waves that kind of loop, but people have made them like pretty sounding, not just an annoying thing. It's just filter sweeps through a certain band pass that triggers that sort of white noise effect.
Mm-hmm. So what is it?
Lulls you into like meditative noise. If you have headphones on, it's like binaural. It's kind of cool.
So it's supposed to enhance creativity?
No, it's just, well, if I think you like songs with properties sometimes that you just zone out on, right? It's on a loop, you let it go. Or you
sometimes
listen to,
I like,
you know,
to be inspired too, though, man. I like, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why it's not for every writing moment, but sometimes it's great to put on something that does kind of zone you out so you're only in that process. That helps me because audible distractions knock me out like crazy.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. It really depends on where I'm at with writing, what I'm writing about. You know, there's sometimes I need to be completely quiet. completely by myself. Well, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of the isolation tank, and I come up with some of my best ideas.
I did it sober for an hour, and that wasn't enough.
Dude, that's crazy. I can't believe I'm talking to you. You know, that's one of the weird things that people talk about online all the time that listen to this podcast, is how many of my friends are all fucking psychedelic freaks. They're trippers, and they've never tried the tank.
Yeah.
Dude, the tank is...
And I live right by one.
You're crazy. You need to get in there, dude. You're just scared.
I'm not scared. I just don't have money to spend on.
I'll set it up. I'll set it up. I promise you. I'll set it up. We'll set it up this week. I'll hook it up.
I'll do it with you. If you're going to do it, I'll do it.
We'll share one.
Double day, bro.
We'll stack it together.
We're going to do
it. You need to get in there, man. Anybody who's analyzing any part of their mind, their thoughts, it's the most amazing tool ever.
I started to feel it probably, I mean, what I imagined was 45, 55 minutes into it, even while sober. Like, I really was like, okay, just let that shit go. You know, lose track and control of where your fingertips end and the water begins. Just shut all that shit out. And I started to get there, and I swear, the moment I was getting there, bang, hatch open, like, your session's done. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I caught the bug, but I got to get back in
there. It's just like, you know, we're talking to him in the kitchen before the show. He was asking me about dreaming and, you know, what different nootropics that create or enhance the possibility of lucid dreaming.
Right.
And the thing about the lucid dream is that it's really slippery, because once you realize you're dreaming, you kind of wake up real quick. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about the tank. It's like these states that you can achieve. I've achieved some really bizarre states. The most bizarre one, I've talked about this before, but it's so fascinating, I have to bring it up, and I never do it justice. I was in a jungle, and I was with this indigenous population. I don't know what their language was, but I understood it. They were making a bunch of strange noises and sounds, and I was thinking in their language.
See yourself? Were you physically manifested in it?
I was moving. I couldn't see myself. Okay. I wasn't in a third-person shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very first person. I was walking around. I remember feeling the dirt under my feet, feeling the leaves, and these people were talking, and I was talking with them. Or no, I wasn't talking with them. I was understanding what they were saying.
Right.
And as I was understanding what they were saying, I was realizing, what the fuck? I understand this, but I was saying that to myself in English. And then I was like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, this is a dream. Boom. And then it was over. But the moment while it was happening, it was so amazing, because it only lasted a couple minutes. It was really brief. But in that couple minutes, it was so crazy. The idea, your whatever it is, whether it's imagination, whether it's genetic memory. I mean, you know, who the fuck knows what is stored in cells as they transfer from generation to generation to generation. There may very well be some wacky fucking file deep in your hard drive, and you just get in that isolation tank on a pot brownie, and it just pops open this one little cartridge that you weren't supposed to access.
Let's unencrypt that portion of your mental hard drive and just beam that experience.
And you're some little monkey person from 500,000 years ago walking through a rainforest speaking in some dead language.
Mm-hmm. Before the cosmic reset. Like, that was one of those lives. That was one of those checkpoints.
Dude.
Here you go.
It was one of the weirdest things. And the other weirder one is the other weirder one. I've had hundreds of thousands of these. Dicks all dicks.
Like, was it a weird, like, you're just surrounded by dicks?
Aliens. They all, like, they have a dick inside of them. The dick comes out like the tongue.
The inception
alien.
Of penises.
Yeah. The number one thing is that you can never quite get deep enough. Like, there's a bunch of videos of me talking about this online, but there's one of them that some guy made on YouTube. Thank you, everybody, whoever does those fucking videos, and all you people do them. There's a bunch of people who do them and take little clips out of the podcast.
Dude, your community does a phenomenal job of representing you and everything you say. They do a really great job.
They're amazing.
Yeah, it's admirable.
I'm super fortunate. You know what? I always say that, too, when I go to comedy clubs, too. You know, the people at comedy clubs always say the same thing. Like, you have the nicest fans. They're the nicest, the most generous, and I don't know how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I don't know what it is. I guess you put it out there, and you know, you hope that people see it the way you see it. But
or I think they respect if you don't see it the way they see it, and I think they see that in you as well. Like, you're very respectful, even if someone disagrees with you. Like, you're able to have that conversation when a large cross section of society isn't.
Well, I certainly
that's
try
why
to
it's
be,
inspiring to see that your fans carry that with them in common. Like, I always have a good time chatting with your fans. Always.
Really? That's awesome.
Always. Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be always cunts no matter what you do. There's always going to be a certain amount of people. You know, I wrote about this yesterday. I was responding to a bunch of people who were being insulting. I was like, man, you know, you got to learn how to communicate with someone as if they were right there. Mm-hmm. You know, and so many people don't do that. And the built-in anonymity that the internet has people have, like, added it to like their rights. You know, it's almost like you're right. allowed to be a cunt because you're anonymous. It's like
right.
there's a certain amount of disrespect that people are allowed to like shine on people. It's like, man, this is not necessary. You know, like there was a conversation that Duncan and I were having, and that some people loved and some people just did not love. And there was some of the discussion about it was like, it was so bizarre how some people just have no problem just being completely fucking rude when they know that you're going to read it, you right. know, and they're talking about it in a way that's just not even remotely considering how a person's going to receive it.
It's the whole age thing too. I bet yeah. a lot of these people are like 13 and 14.
You're right. Yeah, you know? But there's no way we can stop that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, unless we figure out some way to register. I mean, we know that Wick was posting on my message board when he was 13 years old.
That's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Is he one of the good ones?
Yeah, oh, he's
great.
Good.
He's nice. Great. Yeah, he's That's actually going to be our science advisor when he graduates from school. I think I'm going to hook him up with Sweet. A job, and he'll be our science advisor.
I was
so many times we talk about shit, and we don't know what the fuck we're talking about, and he's pulling his hair out in Houston.
Yeah,
so we're gonna have to hire him.
Nice. I was shocked at the anger and vitriol that even my fans had initially when I started talking about like Occupy and started talking about other things.
Really?
And I was a little shattered, and it made me question, should I even be talking about this? Should I be taking a stance? And then I was like, no, absolutely I should be, because I want to be. And immediately when I started engaging in the conversations with the guys that were all caps, hatred, no matter what it was, like pretty much 99% of them either turned around and saw, at least recognized there was another point of view, or toned down the rhetoric and was like, hey, look, you know, I disagree, but I appreciate that you're doing what you're doing.
Some people just want to get your fucking attention.
Well, clearly. Clearly. But yeah. This is the kind of thing, though, where, you know, you never know, so you have to engage. You right. have to engage if people are like, well, this is wrong and this is factually incorrect. It's like, well, no, here's the story. Read right. it. Have you seen it? Right. You have to engage, because for every troll, there is one person who... Who doesn't look up the information,
love, you know,
doesn't
have access to be it. Upset about shit, even if that shit has nothing to do with it. Like, I right. can't tell you how many fucking people were upset at this Alpha Brain shit that I'm selling, these nootropics, these vitamins.
Why are they mad?
But just going crazy on Twitter about it's a placebo, you're ripping people off.
It's not.
And this is what I said. I said very clearly, and I repeat this at every fucking step of the way. The proprietary blend that we have in that Alpha Brain is available online. If you're interested and you are on a budget, please go to a vitamin store or order the individual components online.
You can get sacks of whatever those things
exactly,
are.
Exactly.
Right?
You can get it at a discounted rate. You could probably save like 50% or something. I don't know.
If you buy the cheap shit. See, the big thing is that right. Aubrey's using all the good shit. So in the pills, it's the good shit.
It is the best stuff that we can sell. It is the best stuff that's available.
One thing I've noticed lately.
My number one concern when I talk about anything that I like, anything that's benefited my life, and know this is a true statement. There's no exaggeration in this, no hyperbole whatsoever. If I'm telling you about it, I want you to do it because I think it'll benefit you. That's it. I'm not trying to sell shit. I'm not trying to sell. I have a fucking t-shirt line that I never bring up. It's called higherprimate.clothing. higher-primate.com. I fucking never bring it up. I wear the t-shirts every now and then. I want people to buy them if you like them. I see Sure. people with them at shows. I think it's cool as fuck. I'm not trying to make a ton of money on it. If you like them, I like them. I thought it'd be cool to have some funky t-shirts of monkeys and psychedelics.
Right.
Nobody had them, so I decided to make my own company. It's that simple. I make plenty of money doing stand-up and from the UFC. I would never get behind anything that I didn't believe
in. It surprises
in.
Me, though, that you have to explain that
My God.
To your viewers. Because
not I just have to explain it. Get in fucking furious arguments with people about the efficacy of these things, where you can't give them enough scientific information. They go, well, this one's for Alzheimer's patients, this and that. You're telling me that something that benefits Alzheimer's patients can't possibly benefit people?
Right.
So it has an effect on their mind, but it won't have an effect on a healthy mind. It's a fucking placebo. Some guy said, you know what's better than that? Sleep and exercise. Yeah, but guess what, fuckface? You can have sleep and exercise and vitamins.
Yeah.
And vitamins. Don't tell me that vitamins don't work, because they do work. Vitamins are excellent. I have vitiligo. It's a skin condition where I lose pigment. You can see it in my knuckles.
Michael Jackson.
But I only have it in like a little couple spots, and it stopped. You know why it stopped? Vitamins. I got heavily into vitamins. When I first came to California, I was under a tremendous amount of stress. I had never been on TV before, and I noticed I get like these white spots on my skin. I was like, what the fuck is this? And they started spreading, man. I started going to doctors. I was going to different vitiligo specialists, and I would have to take these things called Sorolins, and they were pills that made me super sensitive to light, and then I'd have to get in like, it's almost like a tanning booth, but you only go in there for 3 minutes. And it's
were they trying to tan the pigment back?
No. It shocks the system where the parts that are losing pigment pigment. It can bring them back to life. Okay. And it works in a certain way. I repigmented.
To like shock your melatonin and to be like, come on.
Sort of. I don't know the exact science behind it. But I had areas that were that lost pigment and brought them back. But you know what stopped all of it? Completely stopped in its tracks. Vitamins.
Right.
100%.
Because you believed in those vitamins. That's placebo.
Yeah. People are assholes. Listen, man, vitamins fucking work. A healthy diet works. Vitamins work too. But all of it works. And people go, what about science? Show me the science. Where do you think they got the vitamins? Witchcraft, you fuck?
They're extracting vitamins
from food, and the way they're doing it is a scientific method. They've done this. They've applied scientific principles to extracting vitamins, and they sell these fucking vitamins. If you don't believe in Alpha Brain or you don't believe in vitamins, that's good for you. But if you're fucking fighting people tooth and nail on something that they absolutely believe in, you're just trying to fight, man. And I guarantee you most likely what it is with a lot of these people is they're not happy with their own life. And they're probably smart, but they're fucked up. And what they're doing is they're focusing something, whether it's online, whether it's an argument, whether it's trying to win a flame war or whatever.
Right.
And that becomes their distraction from their miserable existence, their garbage piling up and their fucking kitchen, their bills, you know, their phone ringing off the hook.
It sounds like the kind of person who could use a little faith in a placebo,
right?
Yeah, rather than being against it,
but
just if it works, go with it.
But here's the sad part about some of these people are very fucking smart. They're very interesting. The points that they make, even though they're nonsense points, they're very eloquently stated. They're argued very well. Mm-hmm. There's a very professional tone to the way they're writing things. I'm like, this is like a guy who, you know, obviously there's something wrong with this person. They're really going after this as if
he's just as passionate as the facts that he's collected to support his opinion.
No, not these people that I'm talking about. There was no facts. And they had never no personal experience whatsoever on these things.
I'm not speaking for those people. I'm just saying I've ran across this where there is like, you know, data is the easiest fucking thing in this world to manipulate. Any study can be skewed. You can prove that global warming doesn't exist. You can prove pretty much whatever you want with numbers, the way you skew them.
Sure.
And
my point though was that they're powerful. This is a good version of a human. Like, this isn't a dope. This isn't some fucking ditch digging.
You wish that they were donating their processes to a more positive cause, as opposed to being so negative.
It's fascinating. You know, it's fascinating. Yeah. Like that would be a subject that would drive you nuts. Whether or not vitamins work. You know, whether or not brain vitamins work. Like, what a weird thing to get all hyped about.
And he might be idolizing you though, and this is something that he believes though, and so this one issue with you has now shattered that, and he has to prove
it
you wrong.
Could
on
be
it.
That.
Or you know, he could be just a hyper fan, or he could own 40 cats,
or they could be a contrarian. There's some people that are just fucking contrarians.
Right.
They
or
just
14
like to battle.
Or 14.
I don't think they're 14. I think there's a lot of older folks. It doesn't matter. The point is, the way the internet is set up now, with the anonymity that's built in, it's so easy for someone to be a twat. It's so easy. There's like virtually no repercussions. But slowly, that's going to change. And you better brace for it, okay? Because the shit's going to come down on all you fuckheads, because you're not going to be anonymous very much longer.
Right.
You know, suckboy69 on fucking Reddit or whatever the hell, you know, message board you act like a shithead on. You go on the underground forum on mixedmartialarts.com or on my own message board. You're not going to be anonymous that much longer. It's really inevitable. There's a clear trend, and that trend is connectivity. That trend is an interlacing of information, and you're not going to be able to avoid all the aspects of your life.
That's why I wrote an Wired article like aimed at anonymous, which I know was opening up the floodgates for me to just be attacked, but my message to them was, hey guys, listen, like, I know it's fun to deface websites and I know it's fun to hack Twitter accounts, but you need to, maybe you're younger, maybe you just don't give a fuck, maybe you really are doing it for the lulz, but you need to not get busted for the simple trivial shit right now, trolling people online and putting out their data, because we need you for the fight. The real fight, you know.
Yeah, LulzSec just got turned in by an anonymous website proxy. They were like, oh, wait a sec. Yes, we definitely do this. But in our thing, it says don't do anything illegal. And here, we're giving the cops the information. So they all got arrested. There's people that hacked, what was it, PlayStation Network?
Yeah,
the real issue is, just like Occupy Wall Street, who's in Anonymous? Who's in LulzSec? It's an open door.
Right.
Who's on my message board? It's an open door. Any crazy asshole can join up. So
certainly. Someone could deface a website in the name of Anonymous, and you never know. And that's absolutely happening now.
Yeah.
There was a fake Anonymous video posted to have like a hack Wall Street day. And it was like on a Monday, it was on a holiday, and everybody said this is clearly a plant because Anonymous would never be so stupid as to attack the markets on a holiday when the markets aren't that volatile, and they would never post it in these ways, and people are already, it's agent provocateurs, just like the guy in the Citibank. They're doing that out at the fucking rallies. You know, they're doing that as hacking. What is this madness?
Those
here?
Motherfuckers. Does anybody want an energy drink?
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
This is my friend Tom Atencio, the guy who was one of the original creators of Affliction. He left Affliction. He doesn't work for Affliction anymore, so I stopped wearing their shit because he's my friend.
Sweet logo, though. I like that. Now,
he created Limelight Fusion Energy Drinks. They're pretty fucking delicious. They're healthy, too. I just started drinking them. He just sent me a box of them. But there's ginkgo biloba in them and ginseng and 250% of the vitamin B6, 100% of the niacin, and 800% of your vitamin B12 for the day. So there's a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah.
It tastes good, too.
Mix that with some vodka.
So if I drink this Rocket Fuel right now, am I going to be up until 8 a.m.?
No, it's not that bad. It's not like a Red Bull. It's not... But by the way, I should state that I have a high tolerance to caffeine. In fact, I quit caffeine for a day. I took yesterday off and I had a headache.
Really?
It's very upset. This is my first cup of coffee of the day. This is my first cup, and I'm okay today. But that's usually how it is for me. I've done this before, where I've especially when I'm writing a lot, I drink a lot of coffee, and then the next day I have a headache. I need a cup of coffee. But if I take a full day and go through the full day and drink a lot of water, the next day it's pretty much gone. It's like one day.
So that's pretty good that you can cycle back down that quickly. But
that's my only addiction. I have a physical addiction to caffeine. But it's not a physical addiction where it's painful or it's like a terrible itch. It's just like I don't feel so good. But you know what cures that? Fucking serious, ruthless workout. Just get a maniac, caveman, savage, adrenal pumping, testosterone bleeding workout. Mm-hmm. Just where you fucking go full grape ape on something. And then it resets your system. Then water's fine.
I've tried to do that hungover before, and it's just shattered my body for like 3 or 4 weeks.
When you work out?
Yeah. I've been like, I'm a little hungover. I'm a lot hungover. I'm going to go to the gym and sweat it out, get those toxins out. But I push it way too far, and it shatters my immune system for like 3 weeks. It's terrible.
Best formula I've ever found for hangovers is this fucking Alpha Brain shit and coconut juice. I love coconut juice, and a lot of people don't. I'll tell you what, this brand, I'm not going to mention the name, not so tasty.
Yeah, it's not that good.
It's not that good, but...
I think C2O is the best, or Amy and Brian's pretty good also.
Amy and Brian's is pretty good, but
C2O is probably the best.
C2O is the best, and they send it to us.
So you're saying take one of the placebos, one of those.
This is the shit.
Alpha Brain. C2O is
fucking delicious. And I know a lot of people say, I've tried coconut, it tastes like dirty dishwater. I hear you. Some brands actually do. This brand is fucking delicious. Yeah. And the reason I got hooked on this brand, we were at Jiu-Jitsu, and this one of our buddies brought a whole case of it. And apparently in Brazil, they drink a lot of coconut water. And we were having a gi day. You know, 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, we roll without a gi. The gi is like the traditional uniform of Jiu-Jitsu. But the idea that Eddie had was that, you know, first of all, in no-gi competitions, a lot of the techniques of gi jiu-jitsu don't work. And in mixed martial arts, you obviously don't have a gi. So you should learn. There's a, like with the gi, you grab people easier. There's more traction. It's easier to hold on to people.
And so, easier to get them to grab you, which is half
exactly
the battle, right?
That's Royce Gracie's strategy. Yeah. He would fight with a gi on, and strikers would grab him. They couldn't help it. So anyway, they drink a lot of coconut juice. So we had a gi day, and he brought a bunch of coconut juice to, like, you know, like out of respect for Brazilians because they love to drink coconut juice. And he goes, "You want to try one?" And I'm like, "Okay, just be nice." You know, right. I'm like, coconut juice tastes like shit, right?
Right.
But I drank this stuff. I was like, "Fuck, this is delicious."
Yeah.
It's like the perfect flavor.
Does it have like the coconut pulp in it? Like
No, I had one
like that, and I'm like, that's not. I'm on honor right with that. They have the coconut pulp.
Yeah, this one is so much better than this one.
It's way better.
They're totally. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. C2O. Email me. Tell me what the fuck you're doing. Why is your coconut juice... Do you put sugar in here, bitch?
Unicorn semen.
Hey, what's the calories?
Unicorn semen. He snuck unicorn that semen. In there, and he wasn't even going to comment.
What's the calorie difference on that?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't read that shit.
They sell it on Amazon. C2O. That's where I get it. You could have it signed up, so they send you a whole case like every week. That's
God
what I do.
Damn, I got Amazon one click on my phone. That shit is so addictive. I'll have a thought in my head. Socks.
Yeah,
anything. Yeah. I don't know. I impulse buy everything, man. Rolling papers. I buy my rolling papers
on Amazon.
I got something you got to do then.
Although I'm going to stop being a medical marijuana patient.
Why?
I'm going to stop smoking marijuana because you can't have a gun anymore. You can't have a gun or bullets. The federal government is saying that you cannot have a gun or bullets because the federal law dictates that marijuana is a Schedule I substance. And so when you apply to the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms for a gun to get a permit to buy a gun. You have to say that you are a user of marijuana.
Wow. So they'll turn away your permit for that?
Controlled substance. So I have to quit weed.
Did they check the medical database, though?
I'm going to go to whiskey, buddy.
No, but
medical database, dude, doesn't matter.
I mean, they need. Yeah, they
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Listen, the ATF does not fuck around.
Right. If you lie on your form that you don't smoke weed, and they come to your house and there's weed in the gun,
honey, you're going to jail. That ain't gonna end well. That's how they, you know, got Al Capone. You know how they got him? They got him for tax evasion. Yeah. Right? They didn't get him for running whiskey and shooting people in the head.
Is that retroactive? Like now?
I don't know.
Because I own several firearms.
Exactly.
And
yeah, exactly.
Thankfully, I don't smoke pot. But if I did, I'd be really concerned.
Exactly. I stopped smoking pot.
You squares. I'm here with a bunch of squares.
It's disgusting. I pay my taxes. I'm a fucking constitutional believing American. Constitutional believing? That doesn't even make sense. I sound like
it did to the people you were firing up.
This is what I'm saying. God damn it! You should be able to have fucking guns and enjoy a little weed. And who do I want with a gun? Do I want a guy on pain pills, on fucking Ambien? Do I want a guy who's drinking whiskey, or do I want a guy who's high and paranoid and is not going to shoot anybody?
Wait, that's the guy. Leave out the paranoid part. Leave out the paranoid part.
Paranoid people are going to hide. They're not going to go shooting people. You're not going to rush into violence if you're paranoid. You're like, let me get the fuck out of here, man. What if they shoot back? You know, I don't think that marijuana inhibits your judgment to the point where having a gun it makes it prohibitive or it makes it dangerous. I think if anything, it's going to make you a scaredy cat. It's going to make you nervous. It's going to make you more sensitive to the possibilities of, you know, hurting somebody or hurting yourself.
Yeah, but they're gonna point to the one dude who has a bad trip and, you know, thinks he's seeing shit off of an edible and starts shooting somebody. That's going to happen.
That's bad science, because what about the million people that don't pull their guns out because they are high?
Right.
You know, and then just say, let's just let this go.
But
you know?
Any number can be manipulated. I mean, it's clearly no worse than being able to, like, drink at a bar and have a shotgun rack on your truck, you know, when you're driving home.
No shit.
No different than places allow that. Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
It's fucking crazy. It's fucking un-American, man. It's un-American to step in and say that if you want to have something that the states have voted on, and you have a goddamn right. There are states' rights are supposed to supersede federal rights. You're supposed to be able to decide what you can and can't use. And the state comes along and says, you know what? We've looked at all the information, and guess what? There's a lot of people with glaucomas, a lot of people with cancers, a lot of people with anxieties, a lot of people with all sorts of different fucking ailments. Marijuana helps them.
There's a lot
them.
Of people who know why it's illegal and think it's fucked up and want to get high.
Unbelievable.
I shouldn't need glaucoma to want to smoke weed.
Yeah, the bottom line about marijuana, this is the bottom line. This is one way to look at it. My friend Todd McCormick brought this up. He said it's a commodity. It's no different than corn or apples or pork bellies, and it should be considered as a commodity. And if it is considered as a commodity, then you have to look, well, why is this commodity being kept from the marketplace? Who's benefiting?
Right.
And follow the fucking money. Follow the money trail. Because guess what? There's not a goddamn thing in the world that's useless, that makes no money, that people are beating down the doors trying to make illegal.
Right.
There's not a single one. There's not a single one. It has to be worth something to somebody to keep that shit illegal. That's the only way they spend money.
Well, clearly
money on
it. It's when the prison industrial complex, the cops who enforce this shit that don't want to lose their jobs, even though many of them now are for it, especially in California.
Most cops are.
Yeah.
In this day and age, when you get a fucking person on television who represents the United States government and they start talking about going after real estate owners for renting out property to these cannabis shops, they're going to steal their fucking property. The government's going to come in from hardworking Americans who put their fucking businesses for rent. They have this. They buy a place. They say, well, now I'll rent this place out and I'll make myself a nice little profit.
Right. This home is worth
shit.
What
do you do? Oh, you sell medical marijuana legally under state guidelines. Okay. Well, there is Proposition 215. It was passed in 1994. That's been a long time. It's been legal in the state. So go ahead, do your business. And then the federal government comes in and says, no, we're going to steal your fucking house because you rent it out to someone who sells pot. Fuck, man. And people will say, why do you tweak out about this stuff? Why do you let it bother you? Why? Because it is the ultimate fuck. It's the ultimate ridiculous thing. You have a plant that's literally one of the most beneficial plants on earth. And I'm not even talking about the psychoactive portions of it. I'm talking about the use of it. First of all, it contains all the amino acids. You can eat it. It's high in protein. Hemp protein is like some of the best protein you can get.
Right.
You can make oil out of this shit. You can make fucking biodiesel out of this shit. You make superior paper out of this shit. You make clothes out of this shit that's way stronger than cotton.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds fake. When you start listing all the different cool shit that you can make with it, it literally sounds like you're lying. It sounds like you're bullshit.
And wait, this has completely better properties than anything else on the market? Yeah.
It's
absolutely
amazing.
Does. But wait, it grows in any weather condition for the most part,
well,
in any soil?
That, think about all the trees that get chopped down to make paper, how much fucking paper we use every day. You can make four times as much paper in the same acreage of marijuana, and it grows back in 6 months.
Yeah, grows back right there.
Right away. Yeah. Instead of 20 fucking years or whatever the hell it takes to grow back your paper for trees. It's amazing. It's one of the prime fucks, and it's one of the things that has to be addressed.
Even if you disagree with what it can do or why it can do it or the propaganda out there, and even if you feel reefer madness and drugs, the sheer violation of rights.
Exactly.
When the federal government comes in and, as you said, boots you out of your fucking business that you put your neck on the line for and try to do legally according to state law, that should have everybody enraged, regardless of what the subject is.
And not only that, how about prioritizing our fucking problems? When we're living in a day and age where there's rampant crime all over the place, people are getting carjacked and shot, and you look at the fucking murder rate in Los Angeles, 20 million fucking people stuffed into one small area, and traffic and nonsense and car theft and home invasions. You look at all that, and you're telling me that you need civil servants to go after a plant that makes people silly? You're going to waste our fucking tax dollars.
Right.
You're arresting people for selling silly plants. For selling plants that make food taste better, make sex taste better, make movies more awesome. Really, you fuckheads. It's the ultimate fuck you. It's the ultimate power move. It's the ultimate this is not a free country move. It really is.
And yet
it's happening.
So now what?
Well, now what is Occupy Wall Street is now what? Now what is the bubble has burst?
So when Occupy starts having signs that say, give us back our weed, then they're going to try to roll on the movement and say that it's just another hippie movement. All these kids want are their fucking drugs.
They're not going to be able to do that. I think it's too late for that. I think it's already gotten too big.
Oh, I don't think it's gotten big enough with the people who need to believe it's for them.
Well, it's got to get bigger.
Right, but get bigger because they're going to put their ad dollars behind portraying the movement as a pro-weed, this is what they care about movement? Like,
yeah,
isn't this an excellent move?
That's going to marginalize people at this point in time. There's 50% of Americans in the most recent Gallup poll said that they want marijuana legal. That's higher than it's ever been before. It's the first time ever that it's passed the people that want it illegal. 46%.
But there might still be half the country, though, that is like, fuck you, that shit needs to be illegal. That's what you hippies are about? Forget it. And it divides us up into teams again. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the boiling point or leverage point.
Just like they don't have a leader, there's not going to be one thing. They're going to attack this thing for every fucking reason.
What I'm saying
can.
Is I don't think it's a good point. The marijuana point is not a good point because most people think it should be legal. And
half,
you get good
half of the people
arguing.
Think it should. Half of the people
half.
Believe it should be illegal.
Yeah.
So you just lose half of the country right there by making this about that one moral issue. Then you pick out another issue. Then you pick out another issue. And
that's
another issue. That's what I'm saying.
That's a good point.
It marginalizes the whole thing.
That's a good point. But I think there's enough people that do believe at this point that other people are going to have to start listening. Because there's enough people like Ron Paul and Gary Johnson and intelligent Republicans that are really pragmatic, thoughtful people that can tell you why it should be legal.
But does he stand a snowball's chance in hell of being elected and affecting any change?
No. Well, affecting change for sure. You know, Ron Paul is probably doing more impact socially than any other candidate besides the people that win.
I absolutely agree on that. He got a partial audit of the Fed. But can you believe that they put
in... How about what they found out?
Trillions of dollars
trillions.
That were not accounted for. More than our debt over the history of this country, they lent out without any debates, without any notification. They lent out more money than the history of the debt of our country to bankers to bail them out. They gave us one amount and then said, okay, here you go. Bail out the countries worldwide. Just go.
Most people don't even
understand.
And that was
on a partial audit.
Yeah, partial audit. Most people don't even understand when you hear about the Federal Reserve System.
It's not federal.
Yeah, it's a private company. I mean,
the line is it's as federal as Federal Express. It's a private company run for profit.
It's so hard to believe that our money is all being
privately
handled by foreign banks.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what a mind fuck that is.
Every dollar that you work your ass off to earn has debt already tacked onto it to somebody, and you don't even know it.
But how is that possible that they can call it the federal bank? That is crazy. That's like calling a company that breaks into your house movers.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, how are you calling it that? How is that legal? You know, how is it legal to call that the federal bank, the Federal Reserve?
Because I think they were the reserve for the Federation, right? I mean, that was what they were. They're like, well, when this country is in dire straits, or there's a market spike, or the next depression's going to happen, we're going to be there to make it all right by printing money. We're going to be the bank that lends money to the country.
What's amazing is when someone's running for president and they meet with the Bilderberg Group, just out in the open. They just go and meet with them. And, you know, they have these fucking meetings, and it's all online.
I want to chat with you for a few minutes.
Yeah, people that are Bill Clinton running for president met with the Bilderberg. Vote on that guy. Meanwhile, they probably all meet with him, you know.
But clearly.
They just figure out who's the best puppet.
Clearly.
Has that ever been
and that's,
more?
And that's so frustrating with Obama right now.
Yeah.
Because, the, and I
was
hope,
just going to ask you that. Has it ever been more evident?
So clear. And I was duped. I was fucking duped. I was sold on the hope and change.
Yeah.
And the reason I was duped was not because I wanted to believe in the posters, but because I looked at where the money came from. And it came from guys like me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it came from you or you, but it came from individuals. It wasn't so much from the corporations.
I wonder if it even did.
There was some there.
I wonder if it even did. I mean, who the fuck is auditing where the money comes from and who's...
There's a couple sites that look at donations and what like and whatnot, but that's never
fully...
They have
it all down?
No, I mean, there's always back channels. And so for all I know, yes, the corporations could have totally put them in there. But I know that I donated, and I know a lot of other people donated. And so the sentiment amongst... guys like myself who feel like sheeps now,
yeah.
The sentiment was, hey, the people are putting him here, so he's got the chance for the hope and change. He's going to fuck those banks over. He's going to get us out of those wars, like he said. He's going to do this, that, the other. And I thought, because, well, my money went to put that there, and so did millions of others of Americans, he's going to feel beholden to us.
Meanwhile, he just escalated everything.
Escalated everything. Continued the same policies right
more
away.
More people are being spied on than ever.
More.
More civil
liberties. More rendition
have, yeah.
is happening. Guantanamo's not
yeah.
fucking closed down.
Not
We're
at
still
all.
In wars.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We're
going to
close down Guantanamo Bay.
Listen, it's a logistics thing. We got an Excel spreadsheet. It's going to take us like a year to figure it out, guys.
Yeah.
No, you're not closing that motherfucker down.
Yeah, meanwhile.
You're clearly not. And then taking the guys who are responsible for defrauding the nation, these guys from JP Morgan, from Citibank, from Goldman Sachs, from Bank of America, and putting them in positions of power, in positions where they can control the money, you put those guys in power, the ones that literally fucked this country by selling faulty mortgages and betting against their own customers.
That's the crazy shit.
Like betting against them, selling you shit in a box, putting a AAA rating on it and saying, dude, this is so secure, you're going to love this shit. Oh yeah, we bet against it, now it's going to fail. And then you're going to give me the money to bail me out. He put those motherfuckers in his cabinet. I'm happy Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed, but you got some fucking work to do if you want to get my vote.
That's a crumb. Don't
that's what I mean. But
that's
they
a
use,
goddamn crumb.
I
oh,
had a sign.
You're
the,
allowed to be our hired killer, even if you're gay. Congratulations,
right.
The world's perfect now.
Right? Yeah, we
that's
really
ridiculous.
We need those numbers up.
We don't need gay people killing people. We don't need any new people killing people.
I was out at the rally with a sign that said, "Wall Street wants to gay marry your illegal abortions." And people were like, "What, are you trolling this event? What are you doing?" And I'm like, no. I'm saying that like someone might see this and get outraged. And the statement that I'm trying to make, which was woefully missed, I get it now. But the statement I was trying to make was that the same anger you have for moral issues, you need to apply to the issues that are the fundamental problems right now, in my opinion. It's not those little moral issues that are on the sign that you're being offended by right now. It's these bankers that took the fucking money. It's the government that's bought by the bankers. It's the police force that's being paid by them to stifle your rights to protest. It's all that shit. Like, if that foundation crumbles, we won't be able to have the conversations about the moral shit that you want to have a conversation on.
Yeah.
That just won't exist anymore.
I had to read Matt Taibbi's articles about
brilliant.
Every single
I want
aspect
him to
of
lead
it.
This movement, even though they can't
I
have
to read them 10 fucking times just
yeah.
to even understand
me too.
All the bullshit that exists behind the scenes. Derivatives and shorting, and it's so hard to believe that there's an economy based on gambling that things are going to fail, and that is 100 times larger than the actual economy.
Right. It's all based on speculation.
Wrap your fucking head around that.
It's like, I get to bet on a horse in the race. I get to bet that that horse isn't going to finish the race, and I get to put the horse in that race. I know he's not going to finish, and I'm going to tell you this is going to be the number one horse. You're going to be super secure. Give that money with me. There we go, and horse dies on the fucking first lap. And nobody, there's not been, since the savings and loan scandal,
no one's been
arrested. Which is a fraction. The
yeah.
savings and loan scandal was a fraction of this fraud movement. Enron was a fraction of it in terms of detriment to the country and homes and our budgets. Fraction. And not one person has been investigated or put away.
How gross is that?
Yeah.
What a
disgusting.
Weird, weird world we live in. We are literally being sucked dry by financial vampires.
Yeah.
It's like there's a vampire colony that's preying on our people, but the way they're doing it, instead of sucking blood out, they're sucking money out. Mm-hmm. And they live in these opulent castles that you can go nowhere near, and there's
right.
armed guards and fucking fences, and they're sleeping in their coffins, and they're just sucking money out of it. And they're doing it, and they're doing it legally somehow or another.
Yeah.
They're donating money to the cops, $4.6 million to the cops, so they can fucking keep them away from them while the protests are going on. Fuck, man.
Yeah. It's insane. Have you ever seen The American Dream, the animated cartoon?
No.
It explains the Fed in a very simple, beautiful way. Inside Job was a great one for that. Now people are starting to get aware of that. And
Inside Job's amazing.
Inside Job's phenomenal. But again, I had to watch it 40 times. By the way, it's a documentary.
Yeah, exactly. But how amazing is it when that guy's questioning all these different professors that now these guys become professors and then they get jobs working for the government. So when they're professors, they say shit that turns out to not be fucking true at all. They say shit that enables businesses to get away with creepy things because, well, we went to this financial expert and this is what his opinion is. He's like, hey, everything's going to be cool. And they're like, hey, he said everything's going to be cool. He's got a PhD. And then it turns out this cocksucker goes and starts working for the federal government afterwards or starts working for some big corporation afterwards and gets some cushy-ass fucking job and is making X millions of dollars per year because of his decisions that he made that support these fucking vampire criminals.
It's the same revolving door with the SEC right now. Like, the guys are supposed to be regulating Wall Street and putting cases, you know, up to the government so they can actually enforce them. They know that if they don't prosecute, if they don't do anything, there's going to be a revolving door. When they're done with their 2 or 3 years, they can hop right on over and work
right
for the guys that they were supposed to be investigating. There's no laws against that.
What's going to happen? So this is what we all see. We all see Occupy Wall Street. We all see people freaking out. We all see how many people are like us all across the country. I mean, what is this? This is just a conversation between friends. How many friends are sitting around smoking a joint, you know, drinking a couple of beers, having the same fucking conversation, spitting at each other in a bar somewhere, going, these motherfuckers, what's going to happen? Where's this go?
It's a great question.
Because it's more than ever before. It's more than at any time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, we are right now at like Vietnam protest levels. We're at the state where you see that girl get maced in New York, and you hear that guy only got fucking 10 days of vacation time removed from. You're like, how is that guy allowed to be a fucking cop? You went around and maced some chicks? You should have to fucking fight Chris Cyborg. That's what they should do. You want to mace chicks? How about you get in the ring and you're underwear?
Fight that Marine that says there's no honor in pepper spraying three women in a
fight. That Marine might gas out. It's better to let Cyborg.
not against Officer Tony Baloney.
No.
He'll get the job done.
You never
trust
know. Tony Baloney might have a good guard. He might get a bill.
His guard.
Get that guy off.
His guard, it smells like Old Spice. His guard ain't going to be that strong against that Marine.
One cop threw a sucker punch at one of the protesters, and it was like the worst punch ever.
Yeah.
You're like, you should never be confident enough to punch a man with that whack ass technique you have. You don't know how to fight at all.
Right.
And yet you have the balls to throw a punch in a crowd against an unarmed protester. Mm-hmm. You fuckhead.
Which shows just how fucking peaceful, despite the agent provocateurs, it shows just how peaceful this movement truly is because they know that that's the only way.
Well, it's also that you see these cops that are older cops, that are the white shirt cops. You know, those are the guys that are older cops that have been in the force a long time and they get jaded.
Yeah,
and
they've seen the worst of humanity. Yeah.
They get entitled too, you know, and they get cocky and they think that they can get away with some shit. That's what enabled him to pull the trigger and punch.
But they've also dealt with scum day in and day out, like you said. So they see somebody in their face screaming at them, which that should not be happening, but they see that
exactly.
And they go, okay, I'm now identifying you as scum right now. But you know, we got to win the police over if this thing's gonna work at all, and that concerns me. That's an uphill battle.
Oh, I don't think so. Like I said before, I think the cops are gonna figure it out eventually that it's all a pile of horseshit once things start sliding.
I hope so. Well, I hope, but you talked about people that are willing to commit atrocities, right? Because they've been desensitized.
Right.
Like, they've got enough non-lethal arsenal right now to fuck up a lot of people and still feel like they're not being lethal. They're just being okay. They're just following orders.
Right.
You know, they're just worried about their paycheck as well. You know, and that will be said. But pepper spray is one thing. They've got the sonic weapons. Mm-hmm. They've got fucking rubber bullets. Like, you look at revolts and revolution throughout history, they never had the weaponry that they have right now to use against their own people.
Right.
That's what scares the shit out of me. Well, they could flip on a ray gun and it will microwave your intestines.
You are so freaky, man.
Google it.
Get this guy together with Alex Jones.
There's video footage from a news reporter taking a microwave beam weapon from like 10 years ago. Google it right now. And he stands in front of it, and there's a click, 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 and the guy goes, oh, God, instantly steps off the pad. This was from years ago.
So it's basically like putting a rabbit in a microwave.
Yes, except it's directional. It's pinpointed. They could point it at you, or they could arc it out in a beam and say, here's the switch.
It just cooks people. You
instantly feel like your intestines are on fire, this news reporter who stood in front of it years ago described it.
To wearing chain mail. You know, like we're going to have like armor suits.
Well, I guess metal does help because like if you put a can of soda in the microwave, it'll fucking explode, right?
But you can't wear masks. You can't wear gas masks. You can't have sticks anymore for your sign because that's a weapon.
Right.
You can't have anything anymore. So they're going to quell that shit right away. You should really watch that video.
Sign,
nope, that's a weapon.
Oh, my God. You know, there's a thing that I watched on TV the other day where they were talking about sonic weapons and what what they're able to do now with sound. They can cause permanent deafness. They can cause permanent blindness.
Have you seen
blind you with sound.
Yeah.
You imagine that?
Have you seen alarms? There's a video of that in use. I think it's in Detroit. It's either Detroit or Pittsburgh where they roll out. There was a small union protest. It's online. And it literally announces, and I'm going to say Detroit. I might be wrong on this, but I'm just going to fucking say it. The truck rolls out and goes, "Attention, city of Detroit," from these giant booming speakers on a big black monolithic looking car with riot police in front of it bashing their shields with batons to create sound, you know. And the thing is like, "Attention, we are going to employ sonic weapons."
I think you're talking about the sonic weapons they used in Vancouver at the Olympics.
Now that's what it was. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Because I remember that. I just looked it up.
But they were threatening to use things like that. I believe it was at one of the union protests.
No, they used it.
Yeah. Well, no, they used that at the Olympics for sure. So, and that was, again, years ago. And this was for a non-violent protest.
They're calling it an acoustical device.
Yeah, right.
Bitch, that ain't a harmonica. It's a fucking sound weapon.
This is a high fidelity dispersal unit.
Oh,
what?
God.
We're gonna make you deaf if you don't get the fuck out of this area.
Well, they blasted some Somali pirates with it on this thing that right. I was watching. The U.S. government used it to keep off Somali pirates. They were coming near this boat and they just turned this thing on. And they just fucking blows their brains out and they have to swim away.
They should have news shit where it's like, in the next 10 minutes, we're gonna have this thing that's gonna break your iPhone.
I personally like it the way the fucking Russians handle it. The Russians go after Somali pilots. They fucking pump missiles into their boats and then they peel them up and they shoot them in the fucking head. That's the way to do it. You know, these sonic weapons, man. This is some lame shit.
But it's gonna be turned on.
You need to send
regular folks
a message. Yeah.
Maybe. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, well, that's a real concern, you know, when technology, as far as, you know, weapons and shit and riot stuff, when it becomes viable, you know, when it becomes something that people can make money developing, mm-hmm. you know, and these weapons companies, they're going to start turning it on people.
Well, why else would you build them and buy them? I mean, that's the last. And dude, here's what's going to happen, right?
The military industrial complex. Well, you got to think that if there's money in making war, there's also money in keeping peace. There's also money in battling against insurgents right here in America. I mean, that's what people are going to be called. The true version of insurgency. I mean, you know, the people that are rallying up against the oppressive force.
Right. And what they're going to see is what worries me about this is that the imagery, like when they shoot people in protests, right, in the Arab Spring, and you see people just getting fucking shot, mm-hmm. you go, holy shit, man, that's fucked up. We got to intervene. And you get world support and you get other people. But if they use sonic weapons and people are angry and protesting finally, which it may have to get to, I sure fucking hope it doesn't. But even if they have an agent provocateur, spark a crowd, they're going to say, listen, these guys got out of hand. This protest is violent and angry. And look, we didn't even kill them. We just microwaved their insides for a little bit. They won't say that. They'll say we used a sonic weapon. And so people at home will be like, well, they're being very humane to those violent people, so this isn't nearly as jarring. If they were shooting them, then I'd get up.
10 people went deaf. It was only 10, and they wouldn't listen.
Right. They should. I had this argument with my parents, and they're like, well, if the police told you to get out, you're not supposed to be there. They told you to leave. I couldn't explain the concept of protesting to my parents.
It gets to a certain point. It gets to a boiling point where what happens? Because it's growing. Right now, they're saying that every day at Occupy Wall Street in New York, it's a bigger and bigger crowd. Every day, people are coming from all over the world to participate in it. My friend Jamie Kilstein, they're in fucking Melbourne, Australia. They're doing Occupy Melbourne, you know, and it's like 10 people, fucking hippies.
But they're out there.
10 hippies in Australia, mate.
But they're
fucking
out there.
Bankers, mate. You know, they're out there, but I mean, it's gigantic. Mm-hmm. It's beyond gigantic. So what does it do? When you look at it, do you extrapolate?
Well, constantly. You know, there's a million ways this thing can go, which is why I'm so fascinated by it.
Me too.
We are living in a chapter of a future history book, or we're living at the end of our society. I mean, you don't know.
Maybe both.
Maybe both, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is New World Order shit. Maybe this is when the crowd gets completely beat down and that's it. There's nothing you can do. We just be slaves to the system.
Did you see Ron Paul at the Republican debate?
Yeah.
Ron Paul had this one brilliant thing that he said that everybody says that really pays attention to human history. He said, this is exactly how every single empire has fallen. They try to spread themselves out too thin and eventually it all comes crumbling down.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
We have a blueprint. We've seen this. We have the knowledge to connect all the dots as to what's happening right now. And yet we're just repeating history, but with slightly different tools and in slightly different volumes. You know, it's been ratcheted up. And we've survived a lot of that history, but who knows what atrocities could lie around the corner. But I've even been looking at, like, I'm doing all right. I got a good job. I got great friends. Like, I'm doing great. And I'm really concerned for the direction of this country, which is why I'm trying to educate myself and be a little more outspoken about it. But I'm really concerned to the point where I've had the discussion of, all right, well, where's our exit strategy? What is it right now? If the shit really hits the fan tomorrow and they declare martial law in the streets, lockdown, you know, the riot police are coming in, are the Marines going to come in and fight? Am I going to wake up tomorrow morning, my dollar's worth nothing, and there's a war zone outside my window? I mean, we're potentially 2 to 3 years away from that. Maybe more. Who knows what's going to escalate?
Maybe less.
It could happen tomorrow. And that the notion that it could happen, not that I think it will, but the notion that it could, I never thought I would feel that in my lifetime in this country. And I feel it right now. And I've been researching, do I go to Finland, Switzerland? I mean, Japan was my exit strategy for a little while there. Love Japan, but that country's hit some fucking hard times right now. And
you wouldn't go to Canada?
I would go right to Vancouver.
Vancouver's the shit. So
I've never been to Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver, awesome. Maybe I gotta go. Vancouver's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah. You ever done shows up? Yeah, but yeah, you know,
maybe, a couple times.
Yeah, dude. Vancouver, first of all.
Will there be a mass exodus?
Great comedy scene. Great weed.
Great women.
Super nice people, and really a really diverse community of all sorts of people.
Why aren't they there now? Why you got to be there now?
Dude, awesome. I almost moved there in 1984. When Bush won again, not in 84, rather, 2004. When Bush won again in 2004, I just sat back, and especially because I was paying attention to the whole Diebold voting thing.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, this is ridiculous. I watched the Hacking Democracy documentary, and I'm like, these guys, they stole it. This is not real anymore.
You got a programmer testifying under oath that he wrote code that allowed them to rig an election.
Yeah. And he showed how it can be done and then did it.
Yeah.
And showed how there's a third-party option in the software that allows a third party, other than the voter, other than the person reading the vote, another person comes in and inserts data and changes the data. And they showed how it can be done. Mm-hmm. And they had been massive contributors to the Republican Party. The idea that some company can contribute to the Republican Party and then make a machine that decides whether Republicans or Democrats win elections is madness. Absolute fucking madness.
It's called hedging your bets.
I got furious, man. There was a period of time over a couple of weeks. I'm a big fan of Canada. I love going up there, and I don't like the cold, though. And I was like, man, Montreal would be the shit, but the winters are brutal. Fuck, where else could I live?
Right.
You know, maybe
so you had that thought.
I still do. I still go back and forth. I have my friend Bobby lives up
there. So what's going to be the pin drop? Can you imagine? What's the catalyst?
As I get older, I just decide enough is enough of this nonsense. You don't have to live in this country. You know, we are eventually becoming a global society. The connectivity that we all enjoy right now because of the internet lets people realize that communities, like my message board, I have a massive message board, and this community is a message board of really cool people from everywhere, man. I have people from fucking Saudi Arabia. I have people from foreign countries. I have Asian countries. I have people from Canada, a lot of fucking people from Canada, people from Switzerland and Sweden, all over the fucking world. And it leads me to believe that this idea that a fucking line in the dirt can dictate where you're from.
Right.
No. It should be like-minded people. It should be cool people, like-minded people. Find them. And if you find a spot, oh, it's across the dirt line. It's no good anymore. Yeah, but it's awesome. Whether it's fucking Costa Rica or where the fuck it is. If you find a place that you think that you could live a safer, healthier, friendlier life than what you're here in the center of the shitstorm. You know, look, I love the idea of America. I love the idea of it all. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that, you know, we saved the world from the Russians and we saved the world from the Nazis and that we're, you know, the noblest and the most creative. I love the idea, but I don't see it in practice. And it scares me.
You've never been to a NASCAR game.
It's not a game. It scares me to think that I'm a rube, you know, that I'm locked into this stupid fucking system. And if it gets any worse, man, I don't know what to do.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what is
while it falls apart around?
What is the catalyst? You know, and that's what I've been thinking, because, you know, people had chances to get out of countries that became locked down and war started, and then it was like, yeah, you ain't going anywhere.
Yeah,
they had signs. They had they had news reports coming out. They had all that shit.
They didn't have the internet. They didn't. It was a different world.
Right.
The world that we're living in is a very strange world. And I don't know what happens when it all falls apart. I don't know. Is someone going to try to reclaim power? I mean, is there going to be an actual physical war? Are there going to be tanks in the streets? And who are those soldiers? Those soldiers are going to actually go after their brothers and sisters and cousins and neighbors?
Right. Yeah.
Are they going to do that? How can they? Is that possible?
Well, they could be sold a message that it's not their brothers and sisters and neighbors, that it's insurgents, that they're terrorists.
And that would be the agent provocateur. So we need a certain population of sociopaths to make this whole fucking plan work for the man.
We're going to become Mexicans. Well, we're going to be going north to Canada.
You're saying that the agent provocateurs are sociopaths?
We will be the Canadian Mexicans, right?
Exactly.
Mexican versions of Canada. Yeah, I'd rather live in a cold climate. I might even live in Alaska. I might even live in Alaska better than this.
Joe, have you seen this fish with the transparent head? Have you ever seen this photo videos?
Oh, yeah. It's a real deep underwater fish.
Yeah, it's a fish, and they have it on YouTube, or there's photos. It's on from National Geographic, but it's actual fish that you can just see right into its brain. And you could see its organs.
Do you know the name of it?
I think they call it a large Pacific B-A-R-R-E-L-E-Y-E, Barrel-Eye.
This fish is a video from a few years ago?
This was like 2009. I just saw it the other day.
It looks like the fish from Sega Seaman for the Dreamcast.
Yes, exactly.
Like that fish.
It's a fucking alien world, that ocean, man.
I always see...
That's a real alien world.
The real deep water shit, like the Planet Earth Deep Water Edition. Oh. Anything on deep water, I see the life that exists on this planet, and it makes me realize how uncreative human beings are at conceiving what alien life forms could be.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like, well, this fish glows in the dark. Yeah, you probably didn't think, you know, an alien could do that. This fish only exists in the infrared spectrum.
Well,
you know, whatever.
How the fuck did an angler fish develop? How the fuck did that fish develop that has a fishing rod? It has a fishing rod and a lure.
Yeah.
It dangles a little lure, and as the thing comes close, their fucking giant maw opens up and sucks the fish in. It's amazing.
Because it was created by some alien point and clicks. You know what I mean? We are just their simulator. And he's like, let's try this. A fish with a fucking lure on his head and see where that goes.
There's this guy who's a chess master, and he's a brilliant guy who plays blindfolded chess against like multiple opponents. This Australian guy. And he's also a creationist. It's really a fascinating thing to see because he's obviously a super, super brilliant guy.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody posted this interview with this guy where he was talking about how there's what science doesn't account for, what evolution doesn't account for. How does a carbon molecule become a person? You know, and it's
right.
Like, it's just in their idea, it's like this idea of the soul and all these different. It's the complexity is too hard for them to grasp, so it must be magic.
Right.
I mean, to some weird.
In due time, science will help us perceive what we have to label as magic right now and imperceivable. Maybe not. Maybe that's the question we're not supposed to ever answer.
Well, maybe we'll get to a certain point where we realize, oh no, there is some sort of an inner code that's inescapable that permeates the entire universe, you know, whatever it's string theory or whatever the fuck it is. They find some frequency at the center of all that, you know, mm-hmm. accepts love and rejects negativity.
Like the Hitler video and that contact signal.
Yes. No.
No?
No, it'd be different than that.
Yeah, they heard the signal and they're like, and then the blind dude was like, dude, I hear video. And then they put it up to a monitor and it was Hitler. And then he's like, there's more. This is interlaced.
There's information.
And then they had the blueprints on how to build the travel thing. It's exactly like that.
That was a fascinating movie, wasn't it?
The book was way better.
Was it? I never read the book.
The book was way better.
Carl Sagan was a bad motherfucker. Yeah. By the way, massive pothead. For those of you who hate weed, Carl Sagan, huge pothead. Carl Sagan smoked weed every fucking day.
Weed is just a placebo.
You see, Dr. Drew was talking about you on the Conan O'Brien show, which is cool, by the way, that not only has the California Association backed up medical marijuana, but Dr. Drew was on Conan being asked, do you back up medical marijuana?
And what'd he say?
And he says, well, I get a lot of slack from Joe Rogan about this.
Well, the reason why is because he started talking on his crazy CNN show about how marijuana is much stronger than it was back in the day and how there's dangerous withdrawal symptoms. And I'm like, come on, man.
Did he clarify that it might be purely psychological? That's
this
not
is
physical?
What I've always said. You know, I don't know how your body works, but I'm pretty sure that if weed got you, it's because weed got there first. And if it wasn't weed that you got addicted to, it could have been cheeseburgers.
You'd find something else.
Or scratch tickets or internet porn.
Whatever
or,
plugs that void for you.
Yeah, and maybe for some people, there's people that have extreme physical issues with all sorts of altered states of consciousness. There's people that literally must drink coffee all day long. They must smoke cigarettes all day long. They are constantly trying to change whatever state. Mm-hmm. And it could be an imbalance. It could be some sort of an issue that they have. I have witnessed it many times with alcohol. I know certain people with drugs. You know, I was listening to Ron Bennington. I was listening to Ron and Fez. Mm-hmm. And Ron is a guy who's in the program. And he apparently he had an appendix. And they wanted to give him pain pills. And he was terrified. And he's pretty sure he's got his addictions under control. But he didn't want to take the chance. And one of the reasons why is because he had a friend And this friend, I believe he said, had been sober for, you know, 10 fucking years, had been working as a counselor in a place helping people stay sober, stayed up in the Poconos so that he didn't have to go back around the same neighborhood and be around the same
people. He was working it as hard as you could.
He's there for 10 years, gets in some sort of an accident, has a back problem, whatever. They put him on some pills. Boom, he's a junkie again.
Yeah.
There's some people, man. There's Absolutely. Some people. There's no doubt about it. And I would never discount that. I would never discount that possibility. But what they discount, and this is my issue with all these Dr. Drew types, is that they always have this sort of – and I love Dr. Drew, by the way. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy. I really love him as a person. He's there's nothing wrong with that guy. He gets silly sometimes. But they discount the positive benefits of it, and they make it as if it's a goof. They make it as – like they go like, well, listen, I'm not going to stop you from smoking pot. If you want to smoke pot, forget about all the medical uses, because the medical uses are many and they're very varied and they're very real. The actual benefits of it for the human race are substantial.
Right.
They're huge. And they're not something you should just dismiss and diminish because popular opinion is laced with the propaganda from 1930s and it has just entwined itself into our culture to the point where people believe all sorts of bullshit and nonsense about what is really an amazing beneficial plant. You know, and maybe you can't handle it, maybe you don't like it, but to tell me that this thing, this turbocharger for the imagination, this thing that makes you more sensitive, makes you more loving, it makes you more friendly, it makes food taste better, makes sex taste better, it doesn't harm you in any way, you wake up in the morning, you fucking feel great, you don't feel hungover, you're telling me that this thing that I take in that does this is bad? I'm telling you it could fix the fucking world. I'm telling you it changes consciousness. I'm telling you it's a fucking tool, man. It's a tool like a hammer or a fucking jackhammer or a laser beam. It's anything else.
Do you think he fundamentally disagrees with
you? No. What the world needs is a shaman. They need shaman. They need people who have experienced altered states of consciousness and not only know how to navigate them, can talk other people through them and do it on a professional level. What they've done for thousands and thousands of years in the rainforest, we need to apply not just with marijuana but all the different tools of consciousness, including alcohol. Right. They should have places where they teach you how to drink alcohol. I enjoy alcohol. I like it. I like having a shot or two with my friends. Mm-hmm. It makes me loose. It makes me silly. I start enjoying things a little bit more. I want to dance. I don't think it's bad, but right. I think there would be benefit so many fucking people if when you're 19 or 20, they took you to a fucking class where some smart, interesting person taught you about drinking and gave you some fucking things to think about. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to think about. Why don't you write down, how about this? You're a new drinker? Write down on your iPhone every time you have a drink. Is that hard? Send yourself a text message. Send a friend a text message every time you have a drink. And he has to send you a text message every time he has a drink. So that you get like 6-7 drinks in from this guy, you can call him up and go, hey, bro, you should stop drinking. You texted me 45 minutes ago and you've had 9 drinks. What the fuck are you doing? Who's watching you? Who's looking out for you? Who's driving you home? You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you're teaching social responsibility with what's available.
It's social responsibility, but it's also shamanism.
Do you think Dr. Drew disagrees with that? No.
He doesn't. We actually had a podcast yesterday that we went through all the entire stuff that Dr. Drew has said about marijuana all in a row, and we ended up with what he said on Conan. And he's actually saying that one of the biggest things right now is that there's people that get addicted to marijuana. Marijuana is addictive to people, and that is. And then
physically though, dude. It's addictive, like jerking off's addictive.
Right, but one of the biggest things right now that's filling hospital room or hospitals and stuff like that is people, freaking out on marijuana and stuff like
what?
That.
What?
And that, one, that of one of the things one,
filling
one,
hospital rooms.
People having panic attacks and going to hospitals is big.
Agree.
And Brian's just saying that because that happened to him. He got so high, he had to pull over to the side of the road and call an ambulance.
Well, that's not true. That's 100% not true.
Well,
actually, I wasn't high at all when that happened. But
here's the thing: Drew has to say this could happen. He has to, as a physician, say that could happen.
Well, he's saying that's one of his biggest things that he treats is medical marijuana addiction. So what he was saying is that it is addictive because people do get addictive because he has to deal with it all the time. Now he's saying he's for medical marijuana. He says that especially now that after this thing, but to Joe's point, it is addictive to some people.
There was a shaman, whether it's yourself or Dr. Drew or the fucking internet, that said, hey, this can be addictive. Here's what happens. Instead of it's either going to be reefer madness or it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, you need a balanced approach. You need to educate people.
I think we all know somebody that spends over $40 a day on marijuana.
Probably, yeah.
I know a few people that fucking just go to the store and just fucking spend a shitload of money every single day and smokes that money.
This is the current study. This current study believe that 10% of recreational users will develop problems severe enough to impair their work and relationships. Very simple. Take the money that they would make from taxes from marijuana if it was legal. I've always said, if you want to have marijuana legal, just how about this? You want to give people an incentive? Make it tax it higher than everything else. Give it a tax like you did to cigarettes or alcohol.
Right.
Give it a tax and then take a portion of that and use it for treatment centers for these 10% that have wacky fucking genes or whatever it is.
Right.
It's not... But for most of us, it's not physically addictive. But a lot of people like to escape, man. And they like to escape with video games. And if they don't escape with video games, they like to escape with weed. I've been addicted to things before that aren't addictive, like video games. I've been addicted to playing pool. I've been addicted to working out. I've been addicted to several things in my life that were impulses. Masturbation. I've had moments in my life, especially when I was a young man, where, you know, you'd masturbate. Like, have you ever done that? Like, masturbate. You're not even horny. Meanwhile, you're beating off, like, for the third or fourth time in the day. Right. You're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? There's a difference, I think, between when you have a fucked up life and you don't have discipline and you don't have the ability to be objective about your body, the ability to be objective about your mind. How much organization have you done? Do you do meditation? Do you do any self-reflecting time where you sit down and look at your whole life as a whole?
Right.
Well, if you don't, then sometimes you get washed up in some crazy wave of momentum, and then you become obsessive with things. At least me. I find myself my most vulnerable when the rest of my life is out of order and chaotic. When the rest of my life is like a bunch of shit that I'm not dealing with and fucking bills I'm not paying and all that. That's when I'll find myself beating off three times a day. That's when I'll find myself can't walk away from the computer because I want to fucking play video games online all
Do you
hours
smoke
of the day.
More during those periods though? Or no?
Does that stay I don't same? Do any of that anymore. And
right,
all this was back before I even smoked weed.
And you don't really? Even smoke weed anymore.
Yeah, I stopped.
Right.
Stopped so I can have guns.
Keep those guns. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to keep my guns. I made a decision. Cunt fucking government, you cunts.
Yeah, when I actually got pulled over.
You bitches. I love the good ones. Actually, don't get me wrong. I love the good cops.
Joe, when I got
I love the good cops.
When I pulled over, that wasn't actually weed. That was caffeine. That was from energy drinks. From
that was the gay climbing out of every pore in your body. But like the center was a nuclear reactor and it was melting down. And the gay was just blasting out of all your skin pores and you were twitching and shaking and you had to call the cops.
Yeah.
How many energy drinks did you have?
I had one of those big Mountain Dew. I don't even think they make them anymore. It's humongous Mountain Dew super energy
drinks.
You
had a bucket of energy drink with a straw in it.
And I hadn't eaten all day. My heart started double jumping.
We had a girl at our E3 booth. We had these booth models. We were sponsored by it.
First of all. Fuck yeah! Continue.
Yeah. No, and they were all smoking. I've been to E3. Hot, yeah.
This is not not even a mildly attractive girl there.
Nah,
E3 is ridiculous.
And there are some really hot nerd chicks there that are into that.
That's
shit. That looks smoking hot.
What is hotter than a hot chick with a hot body and glasses? I don't know why that is, man.
That's
Sarah Palin
thing.
You got a glasses, girl?
Oh, I love her.
Yeah,
she's great. Like vision impairment.
She was she was a GameStop manager.
Ooh.
Like that level of nerdery.
She's hot.
Yeah, and plays Professor Layton in cosplays.
Really?
Yeah.
My girlfriend has a huge crush on his girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. You got to get them to work out. This is very important. Some girls, they're great when they're like 21, 22, 23, and then 24. It starts like becoming gelatinous and gives out, and that's so sad. You can keep
it
going.
That's why like 19 is that's it. That's the cutoff point.
We need to find out what the fuck Halle Berry's doing because that bitch is 45 and she's hot as shit.
Do you think there's a lot of lasers and surgery and scissors? And
now you think it's a lot of health and
healthy eating? Yeah,
but she's also crazy. I don't know. I haven't seen her in person.
We've seen Demi Moore lately.
No.
Whoa.
No.
She
no.
showed a picture. They showed a picture of her yesterday where she looks like a skeleton. Like, and she just looks like whatever magic she was using for the last 20 years just wore off.
It finally caught up.
She
like, bong.
This is going to take more mana, but fuck it. I'm going to cast this sexy spell.
Run to the castle.
Bong. Her arms look like Charlie Sheen's penis now if you look at her.
You can't blame Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton ran.
You can't blame Ashton for going out and getting some on the side. You can't.
Do you think?
The
I heard that they had
ridiculous.
An open relationship, though. Like,
it
I heard
could
that,
have.
That was totally allowed, but he just picked women that were being vocal about it. And it was like, I can't do this anymore now.
Well, let me see how I can phrase this.
No.
I have a friend, and this friend may or may not have worked on the movie G.I. Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that movie had Demi Moore in it. This friend who may or may not have worked on this may or may not have had Demi Moore grab his cock one night.
Ted Danson?
No. Good try. So, if that was possible, if that was real, yes. I think right. that might very well
It was a two-way street.
I think it was probably...
Were they together in G.I. Jane?
No,
Bruce but Willis. Bruce Willis. She's probably... Yeah. That's
probably how she
there's
rolls.
There's a lot of people that roll that way. They just roll that way. Oh, especially in the acting community. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, people think that, oh, they're no different than us. Many of them, no. But many of them, they've grown up in these weird fucking showbiz, super self-indulgent circles. And, you know, many of them just, you know, they're kind of... They do drugs and they embrace different lifestyles. And, you know,
have you ever done the open relationship thing or the swinger hard, thing or anything like that? So you tried it?
No, I've never tried it. Obviously, I've been in situations where I didn't want to be settled down. I mean,
right.
You know, and I said, look, I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't want to, but I've never been in like, you know, you have
Ari Shaffir, right?
Yeah. We have a buddy, Ari Shaffir, who was in an open marriage. And his wife would go on dates and then come home and talk about how guys fucked her and stuff. He should really do material on that. Why doesn't he do material
on
that?
Yeah, he's weird about that, right?
Yeah, I don't think – maybe he doesn't want the world to know.
Oops. Well, there's that.
Oopsies.
We're talking about Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Ari Shaffir. That guy who looks like Ari Shaffir. Yeah.
Was he getting off to it? Like that was – they were the thing or no? It eventually didn't work?
I don't know, man. You know, you'd have to ask him about that. I don't want to say
– Nah, yeah, that's
I already said too much as it is.
I think he said it before.
Yeah, he has said it before. I wouldn't have said it if he hadn't said it. But he's crazy. Ari's crazy. You know, Ari's a wild motherfucker, though. You know, Ari will – You know,
what makes you say it's too hard, though, just out of curiosity? Like,
well, I think
compartmentalizing for men, certain emotions. Or?
For men, I think it's legitimately. Some people believe that that's how human beings existed a long time ago. That's the mushroom orgies. You know, the idea of these orgiastic groups of free sex monkeys that existed millions of years ago. You know, McKenna had that whole thing that he believed that. You know, and it really the idea behind it is that at one point in time, mushrooms were a huge part of human diets, and they were part of all these rituals, and people would get together and eat them, and they would have these orgies and have all these parties and have a good time. And that slowly but surely, the climate changed, the mushrooms became more and more rare, and they were hoarded by the elites, and then they were also kept from other people. And then the sort of this orgiastic communal society that we had, this matriarchal society, by the way, that worshipped the mother and worshipped the Mother Earth, and you know, which mushrooms sort of tend to like put you in tune with that frequency.
Absolutely, yeah.
That all dissolved as climate change. And he actually documents it down to them taking mushrooms and putting them in honey, and that the honey became psychoactive as well, because honey, when it ferments, becomes mead. And then you have a completely polar opposite society. You have an alcohol-based society, which is, you know, inflates the ego,
and
diminishes objectivity and self-awareness, and diminishes the feelings of, you know, of connectivity. It's a, what was that, dude?
Oh, that was the 10-minute warning for that.
The shot clock?
Was it? You have a 10-minute warning?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's fucking wrap this bitch up. Let's bring this motherfucker home. We've covered just about everything. Kevin
Pereira. So good to see you again, man.
Once again, you are a bad motherfucker.
Well, thank you,
Every time you come on this podcast, you do not disappoint.
Appreciate it.
For those who want to follow this brilliant man on Twitter, it's K-P-E-R-E-I-R-A. Don't you fucking laugh when I call you brilliant.
And you're brilliant. Why don't you attack of the
show? No, I appreciate
Accept
that.
Accept it. Suck it.
That's
take
tonight.
It inside you.
Tonight I'm pounding that into a fleshlight. Dude, so I appreciate it.
I'll give you a new one, a freshie.
I want to try this alpha dog. Alpha what is it? The
alpha brain.
Because I will absolutely report back.
Yeah, I'll give you a big bottle. And
Love
if you folks at home, you want to try it. First of all, if you don't want to try it, don't. If you want the effects, but
stop
you
fighting
pay
with the internet,
it,
stop qualifying.
Go
with the
online and find the ingredients. I welcome you to copy the ingredients. Go ahead, copy it, do it all yourself. But if you want a one-stop shop and you want to do it all yourself, I enjoy it. It's called Alpha Brain. And if you go to onnit.com, onnit.com, and when you're ordering, you enter in the code name Rogan, you will save 10%. And let me know if you love it or hate it. Holla at me on Twitter, bitches.
I've been remembering my dreams like crazy, like super detailed. I remember the last three nights of my dreams.
I take it at night on purpose.
Yeah, me too.
I take them right before I go to bed on purpose.
Me too.
But usually I take them in the morning. Anyway, what the fuck ever? Thank you to the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight, enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one. So, man, this Friday, Is it sold out yet?
Not sold out yet.
It will. We haven't even really talked about it. We're doing a show at the Ice House. It's a tiny ass room. I got a tweet from some dude who's flying in from 1,500 miles away.
Are you serious?
For this. Yeah.
We have two shows, 8 and 10 too.
Yeah, it's a great room. It's a tiny 85 seat room, and the fucking show is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's me, Brendan Walsh,
Little Esther, Al Madrigal, fucking Josh McDermott.
Josh McDermott, who's hilarious. Yeah. It's a great show, and we're going to do a lot of these, and we're going to set up a laptop there, and we're also going to do a podcast live Woo-hoo. From the Ice House.
Nice.
Woohoo! So we'll see you bitches on Friday. This is probably the last podcast for the week, but we might do another one later in the week, because that's how I roll. I roll sporadically. I appreciate all of the love on the Twitter, on message board, on line, on the Ultimate Fighting. What?
Can I? I was wondering if I could bring up something I just opened up real quick.
Yeah.
We have a podcast named Death Squad, and we used to only accept donations. That's our only way to survive. Now we just opened up a new website called Doug.com, not Dig, but Doug, D-U-G-G-E-D. And what that does is it opens us up Amazon. And if you ever want to buy anything from Amazon, anything you buy from there.
I thought they made that illegal in California.
They just brought it back. Amazon just brought it back for me. So
really? Yeah, what do you mean? So they overturned the law?
They did something, yes. Amazon had this associates account, and they pretty much got rid of it.
When did it come back?
It just came back 2 weeks ago. So
really, I didn't hear about this. I didn't hear. That made me angry.
Yeah,
just like I get angry about internet gambling. That's another.
Yeah,
I don't want to get angry. This is the end of the fucking show. Positive.
So Doug,
positive, ladies and gentlemen.
Doug.com. D-U-G-G-E-D.
Doug.com. All right. Thanks to everyone online. We love all you bitches. Keep it together. We're all in this motherfucker together, and shit's getting crazy. It's all gonna change. But keep your frequency. Be positive, work hard, stay honest. May the force be with you.